Hello and welcome to episode 313 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing. Disclaimer, the opinions of members of this cast and John DeShazer do not represent the opinions of Blizzard Incorporated, Blizzard Activision Incorporated.
Or Muse on Minis. LLC.
Yeah, but no, really, I have to state that I am. These are my opinions and not those of the company I work for.
I just said that.
Do you work?
I know, but John has to say.
Wait, do you work for Blizzard?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No, he works for Muse on Minis.
That doesn't matter. We're just talking about my opinions and nothing else.
Yes, I knew he worked for Blizzard, but as I told him, I'm the only person he's ever met in the entire world that has a completely neutral opinion of Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care one way or the other.
Which is great.
Thanks for sharing. This is John, and when I play War Machine, I play Protector Domenoth.
This is Josh, and I play Mercs. On the off chance that I can get any of these jackals to play Game of War Machine.
This is Nigel, and I'm semi-retired now that I've beat the game. But if I ever do come back, it'll be back to Kador.
This is Crump, and I play Skaven and Combined Army and Retribution tomorrow against Josh.
All right.
Whoa.
It's on.
This is Keith, and I play Retribution of Syra in casual play and Kane 3 until they fix that shit.
One day. It's right behind
me. I am John Shazer, and I play Trolls.
I'm so sorry for you, John.
Sorry for me?
Not because you play Trolls,
we got
but
troll
because...
Dojo. We got Troll Dojo today. It's going to be like Chad's back.
It's because...
I'm out.
I actually think the Troll faction is fine. I just don't like Theme Forces.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does, except for Tim Bankey.
Welcome to the cast. Tim Bankey doesn't even like Theme Forces. Tim Bankey just says that he likes whatever you say that you don't like.
Yeah, that's true. That's 100% Tim Bankey.
Tim Bankey's nickname should be Counterpoint.
Yeah.
I guess what I meant, though, is I don't think actually Trolls are in that bad of a place, except for the fact that there's Theme Forces out there that are really hard to deal with for Trolls.
Like Ghost Fleet.
Ghost Fleet gets housed by Trolls.
Yeah, I feel like Trolls can handle Ghost Fleet.
Yep.
Well, yeah, they have the Theme Force that gives them all takedown.
Yeah.
Well, that, and then they also have the Creel Stone, which just like says, no, you're not incorporeal.
Yeah, but like takedown's still RFPs, right? So,
yeah, indeed.
Mm. Yeah. Well, as Tim and as Tim pointed out this weekend, it's not like magic weapons is not the silver bullet for Ghost Fleet. It's the RFP that's the real kicker. But yeah, Band of Heroes helps a lot.
It does. It's just that Band of Heroes limits the number of attacks you generate, because to do a good Band of Heroes list to be good against anything besides Ghost Fleet, you're typically running champions and...
you only need to beat Ghost Fleet, so...
And you're not getting that many attacks.
You're going to have one list that beats Ghost Fleet and then one good list, right?
But yeah. the problem he's saying is that Band of Heroes is a limited number of attacks, and when has that ever been good against Krix?
Well, Krix isn't really Krix anymore, so...
I mean, Ghost Fleet's like 30.
You can't do a Band of Heroes list that's just like a ton of Fenblades and stuff?
You can, but I'm saying as soon as you do that, you're not making a Band of Heroes list that you're going to want to drop versus anything else besides Ghost Fleet.
And that might be okay. That's my point, is that's probably okay. If you've got a list that can generally handle whatever else, then you just got
to
take
I'll drop my Ghost Fleet list and then my Kane 3 list and then hope to God I get one of those two?
Yep.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, just dodge Kane 3.
Yeah, just dodge Kador and you're fine.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with Kane 3. Keith lost.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah,
oh, that's sound
Keith,
logic.
Why did you lose?
Because it was my fourth game with Kane 3.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you trying to say?
I lost because one of Kane's dingleberries was an inch too far forward after removing five heavies, a light, and two 10-hit-point solos from the board. In
Keith,
one turn.
Keith, why you put him there?
So, yeah, that's definitely a balanced cast.
Yeah. Of course he's not a balanced caster. He does exactly one thing and does it exceptionally well. And then there's theme forces that allow him to stockpile on the thing that he does exceptionally well. Like, it's an obvious poor design caster.
Unlike Strakov, too.
It's Tuna. It's Tuna again.
Yeah, I mean, they keep doing the same thing.
Do you think Universal FA would prevent him from being abusable, Keith?
I mean, abusable, perhaps. He'd still be, like, no caster survived past the first Charger, so it's not like his assassination would get worse, but the kill your whole army bit might get a little worse.
Do you have a lot of access to magic weapons in that list?
Strangeways on your objective.
And Kane's unit.
Mm-hmm.
And Ace.
Oh, yeah, and you can have... Oh, you can't, though, with the way he works. I was like, you could have Kane's unit go at the end of the synergy chain, but that just doesn't work, so never mind, because he's got a feat.
Yeah,
so,
correct. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I have no idea. I didn't watch any of Keith's games. All I know is he pretty much had an hour, like, rounds are, what, 2 hours? And he had like an hour and 45 minutes every round to do whatever he wanted.
Asks the guy who just ran a convention based around War Machine, how long are rounds?
I did see one. 15 minutes. I saw one guy battle report after his game with Keane. He's like, well, I lost to Keane 3 with Butcher 3, and all I had was 18 sack ponds or whatever. I was like, oh, oops.
Yeah, it was Butcher behind two Kodiak clouds with literally as many Winter Guard base-to-base behind him and behind them as could fit.
Mm-hmm.
That was insufficient.
Wait, what? You went through 18
and two clouds.
He should have toughed them. Idiot.
He did tough them. I made a lot of tough checks.
Did that guy survive through the first charger activation, Keith?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one survived past the first charger.
Oh, okay. But Nigel's like, idiot. Oh, wait, he did?
and he passed, like, 50% of his tough checks.
Jeez.
Wait, how do you get that many attacks?
Kane just blasted and killed, like, most of them.
What, 12 chargers?
No. Eight.
Only eight.
Yeah, that's only 16 shots, bro.
Yeah, plus.
So Kane's, you had pie plates taking up big chunks of them.
Yeah, Kane's blaster shots, which are POW 8 blast after the dingleberries have shot.
But that's the shot that everyone says is garbage and that you'll never take.
Until there are 13 sack pawns behind the caster. I mean, it's the one you don't use until it wins you the game, and then you're like, ah, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh. Signar privilege here on the podcast, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would play Kane 3 if I was going to go competitive, just so I could, like, take rounds off. Go get a drink, go to the bathroom, take a nap.
Keith, how interesting do you feel that your games were?
Not.
Yeah, okay. So, sweet caster design.
I don't think I would last long playing him. Like,
yeah,
maybe one tournament.
It's exactly like playing your Amon list, except with guns.
Well, so
so infinitely better.
So it's exactly like playing my Amon list, except you get to play 10-minute games and I get to play 50-minute or hour and 50-minute games.
Yes.
Yeah, but
correct.
The operation is roughly the same.
Yeah.
I run everything at them and then I kill their caster.
Yep.
If I go first. If I go second, like, I sort of cautiously run at them, and then I kill them.
So, like, I understand that there's corporate pressure to not have FAU, or a standard FA, whatever. I understand that there's corporate pressure, but also as a game designer, like, how many times do you keep running your head into the same wall before you're just like,
Hey, that wall hurts. Maybe I shouldn't run my head into this wall.
I mean, I have no doubt that, like, Will and, you know, whoever else is up there, like, doing on it. Like, I suspect that if they were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do, we would have a standard FA. But, yeah.
I mean, that reduces the number of models they sell.
Does it, though? Like, that's such a weird argument, because
it flat out does. Because whenever a list becomes flavor of the month, and if Kane 3 becomes the next flavor of the month, then every power gamer from here.
How many people are there actually do that? I don't feel like that number is that high.
No, the path to greatest profit is, as it has always been, make the best game you can.
Make the best game you can. Make a deep, diverse game.
Yep.
Because the average gamer doesn't want... I don't want to buy, you know...
Elemental Evolution 12, or whatever.
I don't want to buy Elemental Evolution. I want to buy all the models in my faction and then play them all.
Also, they would still be selling Mad Dogs if they were good, and FA2.
Or 3.
Right. No, that's exactly right. There's, I mean, yeah, they wouldn't have had the initial push in sales, but they would continue to sell them over a period of time. If every model was playable, every model would be sold. So I don't...
Having every model be playable is a pipe dream.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
This is never going to happen.
That's fine. I'll never fault a game for being like 60% of the things in my faction are like competitively playable and 30% are on the shelf all the time. That sucks. I'd like to play them. Maybe they'll get changed eventually. But
right,
you know,
rather
like,
than like 30 and 70.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just depends on the situation. But yeah. I mean, I think a lot of things in the game are technically playable, but the combination of casters that emphasize spam plus theme forces, which emphasize limited selection.
And spam.
It just exacerbates the problem. So yeah. I don't know. I wish I could... talk to the designers, the actual designers of the game, like without their corporate overlords putting whatever pressure I know they've got to be putting on them. I mean, we know they're putting it on them.
Hmm.
Like, theme forces must be 50% of the game. Battle engines must be in 50% of the game. Like,
well, I mean, theme forces might be being pushed because it's easier to balance. Like, I think...
They're, like, in a way, sort of.
No, they're much easier to balance because you have to balance the theme force with just the models that are available in the theme force.
I mean, the theme forces themselves are easy to balance.
It's more you have to balance the theme force within the entire thing of the game.
Right. And so, that, it can, they, that's not easy.
There's a difference. So I'm going to talk about Infinity for a second and how they do what I view as theme forces, which is if you take a theme force, you're stuck and both of your lists have to be that theme force. Mm-hmm. So, like, you get a lot of boons, but you're also, like, actually restricted in your model options across both of your lists instead of getting the best of both worlds, which is a free reign list, and this list has 20 more points, or, you know, yeah, whatever. Yeah, shrug.
Yeah, and I mean, this sounds negative. I like the game. I do like the game. I like playing
the
game.
I love playing the game, and I love the community.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean there aren't some things that are frustrating about the way things are.
Yeah. I mean, I still thoroughly enjoy playing everyone's there.
I mean, is there anybody right now that wouldn't sign up for going back to 2010, 2011, 2012?
I would not sign up for going back to 2012.
Yeah. What was 2012?
Second player's first turn. Or first player's second turn.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, sure. Actually, no, never mind. I would. I've got Edenny and Elitch.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here. No, they had to be as they are now, though.
I'm just saying, like, I think War Machine was so awesome then because there were so many different lists and so many different options, and I don't know.
Were there?
There were. There was a ton.
I mean, I feel like you built several different Menoth lists, but
I don't know if it was.
I also know that when I played Krix, I played one of three lists. Like, when I faced Krix, I faced one of three lists, period, full stop. Like, I don't know that it was that much more open, but
were
I
you
think,
playing in 2010?
I'm assuming you're talking about go back. No, in 2010, no.
Okay.
But I'm assuming you're talking about let's go back to the good old days. Yeah, I played pre-Bradagus, John.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like,
I don't know.
A couple of years.
Bradagus is, like, the end of it. But I don't know. I think the game was better from a competitive balance point in those years than
things
it is.
Things started to get weird. Both of the Doom and Gloom's just circle casters. What? It was just, like, all started with Morvana 2, and all of us kind of, like, popped our heads out of our, like, prairie ground holes, and we're like, wait a second, what's going on here? And then Bradagus hit, like...
Yeah. It was Theme Forces, too, that started to get out of control. But... I would have thought they would have learned their lessons. Like, they could make interesting theme forces and not give free points.
I would probably have just scooped on them as a designer.
Actually, again, as a Kyoto player, I love theme lists. I love the way they're balanced. but that is the... It's actually probably my biggest hang-up is that not every faction, like when you play against, like, Scorn or Menoth, I mean, they're sort of sandbagged emotionally. Like, you can just tell. Like, this is not as fun. I would rather smash into Ghost Fleet. Like, if all I had to play against was Ghost Fleet and Legion, like, people who were also having fun at the game and felt like they were, like, you know. But even, like, Legion players feel a little bit held hostage by they have to play Fianna 2
or
whatever.
And Oracles, yeah.
But, like, which I, like, with Kador, you're totally, all three tier lists are good. And then almost any caster in one of those three tier lists are good. So you actually have a lot of variety. And one of those tier lists lets you play a huge breadth of the catalog. You got Kassites, Asat, Kayazi, or Jax. And I actually played as a troop. It's a Jack tier list. I play as a troop tier list. So, like, you know, there's a lot of cool. So they just didn't hit that. If they had done that for every faction, if they had just somehow cookie-cuttered that into, like, everybody has having the same amount of fun, I would be a lot more excited. But,
yeah.
Nothing I hate worse than, like, crushing the hopes and dreams of Omaha and Kansas City. And just watching them just the life suck out of them as they realize they never had a chance. And then, yeah.
Jesus.
I'm like, Jesus, I'm just...
Well, they never had a chance because we had a Canadian in our midst.
I'm like, I never knew it was this good to be Keith.
Aurora.
I like the red theme forces. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just,
like,
well, they aren't like blatantly.
I haven't seen a
great
theme force that I think is garbage.
Yeah, no, but I like.
Have you seen the exemplar theme force?
No, I actually haven't seen
that. One's fine. John's just a whiny baby.
What
it's only bad because you can't take Eye of Truth in theme, but it's okay because all your Jacks get blessed weapons anyway.
No, it's
it's literally every 20 points of exemplars you bring, you get a free solo or like UA.
He didn't get tough on his exemplars. That's
No.
It's not sexy.
And then it's 2 inches of deployment, and all of your like battle group dudes get blessed weapons.
That seems fine.
It's fine, but I mean, all of my battle group dudes, like, Protectorate, one of the problems that you don't need to solve for Protectorate is buffs. We have Purification casters, Hex Blast, Blessed Weapons all over the place. Like, it's just not something that I need a tier benefit for. It doesn't get me out of bed to be like, oh, great, my jacks are now blessed, because I have a million answers to that problem.
Sure.
With my casters.
Okay. Or on Eye of Truth.
I mean, you have two casters, right? And then Eye of Truth.
No, I have, like, Hex Blast. I've got Spell Piercer. I've got two Purifications. I've got Kriosh 3's Feet. I have...
Who has Spell Piercer?
Resident 2.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, we literally don't have a problem with buffs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Castigate. I'm sorry, not Castigate. Chasen.
I mean,
and I haven't even got through the whole catalog. Like,
it's nice to not have to, like, reach out and do anything, right?
Yes.
Isn't it nice to just have Blessed?
Sure. I also have the Eye of Truth, which is a fair point.
Yeah, it's mostly the Eye of
Truth. All I'm saying is, like, defensive buffs is not something that I've ever been like, golly gee, I wish I had a theme benefit, like, to deal with that. If they would have given me a theme benefit of RFP, that's something Protectorate does not have a lot of access to.
It's not just Protectorate. That's just the game.
A lot of, yeah.
Well, I mean, but there's other factions that have more access to it than we, for the most part.
I mean, I'm sure there are some other factions that have more access. I'm just saying it's not... Almost any faction would gladly take a theme benefit that was RFP.
Right.
But regardless, anyway.
So my point is... So that theme benefit doesn't really make me excited. They could have given me a theme benefit that made any of the exemplars that you don't see played put on the table.
Basically,
so,
get bashed in three wounds again.
I mean, they could have done that, and that would have made me excited to play the theme force.
Like the Gator treatment.
Right. But I mean, that would have been something to be excited about the theme force about. Mm-hmm. They could have given us, they could have given Aaron stuff.
I think
even
they should
like,
have taken my brother's approach, was a giant middle finger. They like gave three wounds back, and my brother's like, no, screw you.
Yeah.
like, remember that? He was so pissed. He's literally like, are you kidding me? Is this...
Why am I getting what I want back?
Yeah.
Boo. Boo to you.
Yeah.
I kind of get the point, like, especially since, like, Manowar and Skinwalkers got to keep eight wounds for some God knows why reason. But,
well, yeah. I don't know about Skinwalkers, but Manowars make sense. They're literally mini jacks. They're mini jacks. They're light war jacks.
Anyway,
Gators are just things that crawl out of a puddle.
Anyway, so I guess I was really hoping the Exemplar theme force would give me something excited to build lists around. Something that made Errants just a little bit better because they're not quite good enough.
I mean,
or is it just
at the end of the day, I think looking at theme forces as a way to build a list around is like the wrong. That's not what they're doing. Like, what theme forces give you something to build a list around?
Well, let's see. You can get Sac Pawn and Kador, which is a huge deal, and Advance Move. You can get.
But you don't have to build.
Oracles gives you a unit with Apparition.
Yeah,
and it removes Advance Deploy from your opponent.
Yeah.
Well, that's maybe not
something
Oracles.
To build a list around. Yeah. Is sort of exactly what you. Don't want, because that's just building the list for you. That's
I don't want the list built for me, Keith, but I want more options, and right now Exemplar aren't really playable, so even in a theme force, I mean, Knights Exemplar are the only thing you see from the Exemplar
Vengers.
Catalog.
And,
some Vengers.
And Visgoth and Roven and Co.
I mean, I kept playing against Errants for a while there.
Because I was trying to make them work.
I know,
yeah.
John.
I mean, that was a conscious effort on my part.
They're pretty decent, right?
They're
just not Mark II stupid.
They're okay if you have Defender's Ward and Tough.
They literally have to have a defensive buff plus Tough. If they don't have that, they're pretty garbage.
And then they're just passable. They don't even, like, win the game.
I mean, they're a strong tar pit unit.
Yes, they're a strong tar pit unit, but they don't, like...
Tar pit units have never won the
fair.
Like, let's not.
But it's a lot of points.
Go off the rails. But yeah.
Going off the
maybe
rails.
Maybe we need to get John into either Legion or COC.
But that's not going to solve his problem.
Wait.
That will.
No, it might. Like, COC has interesting theme force benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, but.
He needs to get into the dojo and make some sweet lists.
All right.
John has always wanted to build the list where he plays the stuff that people think that it's borderline unplayable or they wouldn't put it in that capacity. And he wants to find a list where it works and surprises people. And he's good at doing that, but theme forces don't let him do that because it's such a small selection that anybody's going to have gone through, like, the options. So the reality is just it doesn't matter what lists John plays. He will never, or like what faction he plays, he will never be able to tap into the thing that he's enjoyed the most on the game.
Yeah, which is brewing and building.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, which is all I've ever said.
No,
right?
I don't disagree with you.
Like, though. I still love the game and I love the community. I can't engage in the game in the same way. Like, I don't know. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think about the game as much as you used to?
Lately, no. No.
I've been playing Infinity.
So I think about gaming as much as I used to. I don't think about War Machine quite as much as I used to, but that is derivative of my, of you guys, of my playgroup. So, like, I go home now, and I sometimes I'm thinking about, like, oh, what should I pick up something for Infinity? What should I pick up? Whereas I would be thinking about War Machine before, but that's not because I'm super dissatisfied with War Machine. It's because my playgroup doesn't play War Machine.
I do actually still, I haven't for about the past month due to prepping for the con, but prior to this past month, I've actually been thinking about, like, rep lists pretty frequently.
Yeah.
And, like, dojoing them and bringing them to the shop and playing against, like, Tim.
Yeah.
And just, like, Menoth Red.
Like,
and then,
I fully admit this might just be a mental block on my part, but, like, I start thinking about lists, and I get very discouraged thinking about vanilla lists.
I actually think...
because of the point differential.
I actually think it might just be primarily because you're comparing your faction now to Mark II. Because, like, that's pretty much why I scooped on Circle, is, like, I thought less of the catalog got played. I was like, I can't... I tried dojoing Circle lists for, like, 2 months, and then I was like, I can't do this. It's too frustrating and disheartening for me. And I just jumped ship to a different faction that I played a little bit of in Mark II.
100%.
That is definitely the reason why I bailed on Crix right away, is I was like, I know I cannot give this a fair shake for at least, like, a year and a half, so I'm just going to walk away from Crix and come back to it later.
Yeah.
That being said, as I am right now, I think about the game quite a bit less because I've got Signar and Retribution. My Signar list is just like, okay, I know if I want to be competitive, like, right now I can grab 8 Chargers and Kane. And right now I know I can grab a Storm Division list with any given number of casters. Or if I want to be a bit more creative, I can grab Haley 3 and I'll be good to go. Like, there's no more to think about than that. And for Retribution, I haven't plugged in the time I need to say this for sure, but my strong impression has been that their theme forces aren't good enough to hang with the big boys, and their vanilla lists don't make it there. So I just play them casually and enjoy them, but don't give it much thought.
So I think, maybe this isn't fair, but I think that if there were not free points in themeless, if we're all playing on the same playing field and theme benefits just gave you, like, you know, some benefits for playing in the theme, like sack pawn or no advanced deploy or, like, even good benefits, but you weren't up on me like 10 to 15 points, then I would be very happy playing vanilla lists, and I would be much happier with the game because then I could go and build the kind of lists that I want to build, frankly, and play and experiment with the entire catalog and, you know, try and make things work together that maybe don't necessarily...
You just got to actually do it.
Well, the thing is, every time I play a vanilla list, I feel the points differential when I'm playing. And maybe I shouldn't, but I do feel it. Because I'll feel like I'm trading fairly well, like, in a balanced manner, but I'm getting further and further behind.
So how much of that do you think might be, and if I understand your viewpoint and your standpoint, but how much of that might be you play a limited number of games and you're trying to make things work that you know are tough to make work, and then you run into lists that are competitive lists. And maybe some of it is that the stuff that you're trying to make work, you can't make work. Like, if you keep running forces with admittedly weak errants into opposite theme forces that are 12 points up, like, yeah, you're going to feel it even more because maybe now you're playing, like, theoretically 22 points down.
Yeah, but even when I play, like, Sevi with Redeemer Spam and Eye of Truth, I feel that point differential.
Like, how often have you played that list?
Several times. I played that quite a few times, not in recent memory, but I've played it into quite a few. And I don't know. What you're saying is, like, I think true, and I think it's possible, but right now I have it stuck in my mind that, like...
It does feel bad considering the way to win in War Machine is attrition.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
If I'm playing a vanilla list and I start out down 15 points, that means I have to outperform you by 15 points.
No, I mean, the worst... I said this 3 months ago. The worst thing in Mark II... Well, I mean, aside from the eventual box spam, was the theme forces that gave free points.
Yeah.
So the concept that now that's what theme forces do is nonsense. It was nonsense. It was a nonsensical decision.
On the so far, I mean, point for point, they're still, like, the same as Mark II, like, percent of lists. It's like 20% of the list is, like, free points.
It's, like, more than that, I think.
It's no, usually it's, 20 out of 100.
It's 15.
Oh, you mean
average.
How many free points?
Yeah,
I meant there's more lists that give free points.
No, there are more lists that give free points, but the percentage of the list is about the same as
sure,
it was in Mark
II. Yeah, that's fine.
Like, But the problem is a lot of the ones in Mark II were just like a point discount on the thing you're spamming anyway.
Right.
So at least now they are.
No, it's a little better. Like you can only buy certain things with your free points.
Well, it's usually solos that you can't take normally because they're overcost.
Sure.
It's like, this solo is like 8 points. I could just take another heavy for like 2 more points. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. At least there's that, but.
Sure. Anyway, like, I don't mean to make anybody else feel down. It's just not a game that is engaging me right now, and I'm just trying to understand why. So, I'm sorry if it makes people feel bad when I share these feelings. I know I got yelled at last time for being negative, and I'm not trying to be negative.
Come play games.
I do. Like, I play War Machine.
Oh, I mean, I 100% agree with Keith's statement a while ago that the more games you play, the better the game is. It's just the reality.
Yeah.
The deal is the core rules of War Machine have always been good and are still good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
I kind of am excited to get back to, like, thinking about the game competitively frustrates me, and it's forcing me to go back to the casual, like, local stuff, and that's a blast, actually, right now.
Sure.
Like, every week is just, like, I'll see you in, like, 2 weeks. What are you going to bring? And they're like, this. I'm like, I'm going to counter you so hard and, like crap stomp you.
Shockwile, and I'm like,
yeah.
Man.
But we do it back and forth. Like, I'll message one of my locals on Monday. I'm like, what are you bringing Monday? And I'll say his caster, and then I'll say who I'm bringing, and then we'll just, like, build lists to try and, like, dick each other over. And it's usually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Because, yeah.
I don't know. It might be better if I just took a break from the podcast for a while and let you guys talk about it. Because, I mean, you guys all still really like War Machine, and I still really like it, but I don't like building lists for it and thinking about it. It doesn't engage me.
Well, maybe we should start doing what I was just saying. It's just like...
Or we have you just stay on, but we just make more pirate jokes. And then that way...
That's not...
People need their John dynamic, so if you're not all squirrely about War Machine, then maybe we just get pirate jokes in there. And yeah.
So you're not... You haven't really said anything that's making me want to stay on the podcast. Mm. Also, who was the listener that gave you the pirate book joke, the pirate books?
Is it Matt? Matt, Mark?
You're so good at this.
You remember his name? I want to say Matt, but it's an M name.
Yeah. He was a very nice...
Mike.
Is it Mike? Is that right?
Mike.
Yeah.
Is it? Yep.
Mike, okay.
Yeah, was it this weekend?
Yes, he was very nice. He gave Josh a gift.
He did.
It was 2 books of pirate jokes that Josh then promptly left on the table. So it obviously meant a great deal to him.
I was drinking, and it was late at night.
It was clearly important
to you.
And you realized you've run through all these jokes already.
No, actually, I haven't. And as soon as I left, I texted Keith and was like, Keith, I forgot those books in the pile of stuff on the table. Get them. So
why didn't you text me? I would have got them for you.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just saying. Believe. I'm just saying. We should probably talk about MomCon, because it was actually really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Good job, Nick.
Thanks.
Very good job, Nick.
Yeah, good job, Nick. And also Travis a little bit.
No, Travis a lot.
I don't know where we need to give any credit there.
No,
Travis.
Travis is a boss. Like,
he is.
I just
like trolling him. Trolling Travis is one of my favorite activities.
Yeah, but Travis has no sense of humor. Trolling him, he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You just make
him.
He gets it.
You just
You're just not
mad.
Good enough at it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That could be.
Like, next year I'm going to just dress up like a Vulcan to run the con, and I'll have a costume for Travis as well. It'll be perfect.
See, the problem, John, is that you're too obvious. When you're trolling, it is clear that you are trolling, and Travis is immune to that. The true trolling is when he can't tell.
Yeah.
Also, he needs to respect your opinion, so you may have some trouble there.
Are you saying he doesn't respect my opinion?
I didn't say that.
No, he said you might have some trouble there, so you may not.
Neither confirm or deny.
Yeah, it's up in the air.
Well, coin toss.
That kind of hurt.
It's Schrodinger's reaction.
Yeah, don't find out.
Actually, John, that brings up an interesting question.
I don't. Look, John! It's back!
Why was Shay so terrified of buying a new hat?
I don't know. Why?
He was afraid of capsizing. Yarr!
That's actually really good.
Thanks to Steven Dielstra. Excellent joke. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
We haven't done that in so long. Oh, man.
Between Steven sent me like 9 or 10 that are actually all new and most pretty good. And then with
most pretty good.
And with Mike's books, It's going to be a while before you don't hear a pirate joke again.
So I definitely am going on a hiatus.
Yeah.
Unless we change the format.
I think you should read it to him like a story time, like you're in a chair in front of a fire.
I'm hoping that there's seriously long ones in that book that I can totally do that. Just monopolize like 5 to 10 minutes on the cast with a nice long pirate joke.
Nobody wants that.
I do.
If you don't...
Everybody wants that.
Yeah, everybody wants it. Yeah. It's the defining characteristic of Muse now. It's not... We used to be, like, the place where people would tune in to listen about, like, insightful War Machine and Hordes, but now it's literally all they can glean from this podcast is a new pirate joke and your shame.
Which we have not given them
for
years.
Your shame and pain. Yeah. Like, that's it.
And let's be fair, a Nigel movie review every now and again.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. I mean, we still say things about War Machine and Hordes, but people tell us they're not insightful. So I don't know. You know, maybe Trump's America.
Yeah.
we've just fallen down to where the rest of the internet is, where people just listen to tell us we're wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. We made it.
We've accomplished godhood.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. No, the con.
Nailed it.
The con was fantastic. We had a bunch of sweet volunteers. Travis Marg single-handedly running essentially all the War Machine stuff.
Yes, Travis, next year, tell me that you're doing that and I'll help you. He went like open to close on Saturday.
Yeah, he went like 8 a.m. till 2 a.m., which is way like ridiculous.
That's way too
much
for one.
2 a.m. was him standing up and watching Player Unknown Battleground with me and John DeShazer.
No, he was running an event until like 1.
Mistakes might have been made, but regardless.
Yeah. So, him, Jason Tate running all the Guild Ball stuff, mm-hmm. Caleb Bailey running X-Wing,
mm-hmm.
Colin running Batman, a.k.a. pestering Bill Boysen and Beanish to run Batman.
Andy Walton running some Blood Bowl.
Yep. Yep.
We had Will Thompson running Infinity, Kyle Bodie running Malifaux. Like, we had all kinds of events. It was awesome. And a lot of people had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Pinkin, Lauren from Griffin's Roost Painting, running the painting competition stuff in the hobby room. Our hobby room was legit.
It looked super sweet.
Like, Andy brought his PlayStation and a ton of, like,
really bad movies.
According to Andy, good movies. and
Crank 2 is a masterpiece.
In the hobby room, they watched Crank and Crank 2.
Yeah, I actually had to go, Andy was telling me. He was relaying the story.
Conan
I'm like,
the Barbarian.
I'm like, Andy, was there any kids in the room? He's like, no, I checked first. And I'm like, I'm doubting that he checked, but I believe that there wasn't any kids there. So.
Yeah. No, it was super sweet. It was just like a circle of tables and a sweet movie thing on it. It's basically exactly how you want to paint at home.
Are you saying you wouldn't show Crank to your children?
Well, my children, but they're degenerates and like teenagers, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But like not like a 10-year-old, no.
I just wanted to confirm that your children were degenerates.
I knew where you were going, so I wasn't going to try to deny it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the hobby room looks sweet. I just walked by one time, and there was like one guy in there painting in a lavish palace-like room watching the IT crowd. And I was just like, yep.
There were probably more people in there. They're like hiding around the door.
No, I looked in. It was almost the end of the con when I looked down here. Yeah.
I think
there were like 8 people in there pretty frequently, just like hanging out, talking, painting, watching Crank 2.
It looked like all the like side kind of stuff, like all like Infinity got more people than it did last year by a like factor of 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Like X-Wing got 3 or 4 times more people than it did last year. Like you guys had like
Malifaux, that room was packed.
On the last day, on Sunday, at like 1 o'clock, so like 4 hours before the end of the tournament, I walked down there and there were like 7 people playing Malifaux, which like that's a lot like at that time of day, 7 or 8 people playing Malifaux. Down
earlier that day, there were like 14.
I believe it.
There was
a tournament. Like,
Yeah.
And I mean, there were like 10 people for Blood Bowl, which is pretty sweet. One of them was not Nigel.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm a little bitter.
I think my favorite part of the con, though, was just walking, because just the nature of the con around...
The Magic the Gathering?
No. Around 10 o'clock around 10 o'clock at night, you could walk around the con.
Just the sound, the taste, the smell.
All right.
Of fresh cardboard.
I thought you were going to say Ferengi, or I was like a million smells I was going to conjure, but like, yeah. Cardboard is the last thing I think of when I think of magic.
Yeah. All right. So
anyway, John, tell us.
Just the you could find any type of game that you wanted. Like, some people were playing Galaxy Trucker. There'd be another group that was playing Dark Souls. You know, another group playing Betrayal or whatever.
Yeah. No, that was what I thought was awesome, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're...
Another group playing Magic the Gathering.
We're in our second year, and we're in Des Moines, Iowa. And we're super negative about the game that we podcast about. So, like...
Hey, speak for yourself.
There's not, nothing particularly wrong with Des Moines other than that it costs $10,000 to fly there from anywhere else.
Right, that is true. Yep. But Des Moines is pretty sweet.
Which is weird. Cause, yeah, yeah.
And right. If you come to Des Moines, you can always come drink beer at my brewery. So, you know, that's always a thing.
Which we did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did go do
we
that.
We took a group of, what, 15?
It was, I think there was almost 20 of us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Canadians and a Swede and whatever Tom is.
What country is he from now? Yeah.
Technically China.
A Tom, aspiring pro Magic player.
But anyway, it was Memorial Day weekend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's like a lot of reasons for us not to be a very big con. And it's not like we were a huge con. We had, you know, 200-ish people,
yeah.
Which
somewhere
is good.
Ballpark, yeah.
Which is pretty sweet for a second year. Like, I felt like it was a good number of people. It was awesome to have people come in. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're not like, obviously we're not like, you know.
Gen Con?
Well, obviously not Gen Con.
Adepticon.
But like Temple Con or what? Adepticon or whatever. Yeah. But
soon.
What was awesome is exactly what you said. Like, even with only like 200 people or so, which is a good number, but even with that amount, like, it was whatever game you wanted to play and at whatever time, you could probably play that game.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And that's all you can hope for in a con, really.
And I mean, like, we had so many cool things that you could experience there. Like, there was people giving Halo Fleet Battles demos, Dark Age.
Ground Battles this year.
Oh, Ground Battles, sorry. Yeah. Halo Ground Battles demos. Dark Age was getting demoed. I think that got demoed
essentially all weekend.
Yeah, pretty
like
much all
20
weekend.
Times, 20 yeah. or 30 times, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was just a machine. Zach was just running Dark Age demos like crazy.
Well, Gar was doing it too, so like he ran probably.
There was Judgment demos, which Chad
Cheddar Caveman on our
Cheddar
forums.
Bin Laden. Also he got his Kickstarter models early.
Yeah.
So you could actually play Judgment with the actual models, which were very nice.
It was a fun game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty deep. Like, it's pretty tactical. Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, it reminds me a lot of Guild Ball, but that's not a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. So yeah.
So just the diversity, the number of things you could do was pretty cool. So I think that's probably the biggest strength of MomCon is just the diversity of things that you can do.
Yeah.
The different things that you can experience and just the camaraderie. You know, yeah, I was playing Magic the Gathering.
The camaraderie?
The camaraderie, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what my son is really into now. So it's easy for me to be into it.
Man, I was apparently way more preoccupied than I thought. I didn't know Chad ran Judgment demos. You guys were like, yeah, there was Judgment. I was like, what? When did this happen?
I think it was pretty much just like, I think as he had time and he saw like somebody that he was like, this guy might be interested. So
gotcha.
He definitely played in the like main qualifier tournament on Saturday, but he ran them all day Friday. Mm. Like, he was out there all day running them. And then, yeah, he really did.
It was a good game. It's a cool game.
We had a lot more prize support this year than previous year, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think people walked out. That's the other cool thing. People paid $50 for their con ticket, and some people walked out with like an Age of Sigmar starter, which is like $100. There was two Blood Bowl starters. There was a 40K starter.
There was an Operation Red Veil, which is like $115 in Infinity stuff.
I think a Wrath of Kings starter.
There was
a Wrath of Kings
two-player starter.
Yeah. Which was expensive.
Yeah, it's like $120-ish.
Yeah.
There was a $100 board game. There were like eight $100 items that like...
And then there was just tons and tons and tons of other prizes, ranging from like 3D printed goalposts for Guild Ball to starter sets for different games. I thought it was really cool. The X-Wing guys, a lot of the X-Wing community were a lot of the X-Wing guys were locals, and they hadn't really had the miniature con experience because X-Wing players, that's not how they operate. They don't go to conventions to play. They go to shops to play in tournaments, and that's about the only experience they've had. So this was, for a lot of them, their first like miniatures con experience.
Yeah.
And they went and got a demo of Guild Ball, and then they came to the prize table and got starters for Guild Ball because they were on the prize table. So they were pretty excited. They're like, oh man, I got to play this new game and it was really cool. And then I got to get like some stuff for my new game because I was playing games and got points for it. And like, it just worked out really sweet.
Yeah.
And that was just really fun to watch those guys light up
Archon is actually kind of like the gateway drug for other games.
That might be a bad thing.
Everyone's like, everyone comes there for X-Wing, and then they pick up, like, they're like, well, I already own these X-Wing ships, so I'm just going to buy this stuff for this other game.
Right,
and then, like, the Malifaux dudes buy, like, Guild Ball stuff. Guild Ball people buy, like, Malifaux starters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there was a ton of Batman stuff sold. Like, a ton of Batman stuff sold at that time.
Which, I mean, those tables downstairs, like, while they weren't painted yet, were sweet looking.
I think Batman's actually a really interesting game. I think it's a very good game.
It's not a game. It's an amazing Baron Pretzels game and not a good competitive game because the rules are written such that they're actually open to interpretation. So, like, Bill Boysen and Beanish were super excited to meet on Friday because they played, like, games and they were thinking, okay, how are you interpreting this rule? And so they just play, and then they'd be like, no, this works this way. And then Beanish would be like, no, it works this way. And they just, like, literally the same rule has three different interpretations.
The, like, resource allocation sort of aspect of Batman is super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the setup
is really interesting to me. Just the whole, like, putting out scenarios and picking your cards for your, like, you know, cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you spend points on this deck of cards that you can choose from. So you can choose to, like, you can, like, choose to have an ambush that lets you deploy one model, like, 16 inches onto the board instead of, like, your normal 8 or whatever it is. I'm making up numbers here. But that costs points, too. And I'm like, well, that's actually super fluffy and fun and, like, interesting to think about, like, oh, I'm going to spend points on, like, changing sort of, like, the fundamental rules of the game, mm-hmm. you know, like, where I deploy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
No, it was a good con.
Tons and tons of stuff. The painting competition was a lot bigger this year. We've got pictures. I'll post them on the MuseonCon Facebook page. So if you're curious to see what won Best in Show and all the categories and such.
Best in what?
Best in
Show. Show and Shay.
Had a repeat winner.
Ryan took it. Yep. Took it down 2 years in a row.
Was it Cannonball again?
No, it wasn't Cannonball. It was Kraken.
Oh.
It was Kraken. I should have got him a Cannonball.
Yep.
Dang it. I figured I'd just keep going Kraken.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. So.
You're contributing to Ryan's alcoholism.
Yeah, I mean, one bottle of rum a year is not alcoholism.
That's true. Did you buy him tickets for the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
I didn't. He also won a copy of the Game Boy Advance game, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. The best in Shay prize every year is going to be some random pirate crap that people have given to me throughout the year and a bottle of rum by me.
Maybe a book of pirate jokes next year.
Ooh.
Only if I've exhausted it.
Exactly.
It'll be exhausted like in 2 weeks.
We had a ton of awesome donations from a ton of sponsors. I'm not going to go through and list them all, but you should come check them out. They're going to be listed on the MuseonCon Facebook page. Tons of sweet stuff.
We did, but I want to call out a couple that donated above and beyond. Like Mayhem Comics and Cards, like, gave us so much stuff.
I was trying to tally up how much it was, and then I scooped. In terms of pricing.
Yeah.
It was just, I just literally gave up.
It was literally thousands of dollars and stuff.
Yeah. Nine zeros.
Okay, it wasn't
Mayhem quite...
doesn't have that much money.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite that, but it was amazing.
They put all their models in gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Games and Gears also gave us a significant amount.
Yeah, they donated like 15 or so brush kits.
Yeah, they're
which
like...
are each $50 a piece.
Yeah.
Like, they have a like sable brushes. They were sweet.
Yeah. So those are the ones I wanted to call out because they're...
Green Stuff World also hooked us up this year. They donated like four more of their... I got to visit that web store because that was... They have sweet stuff. Yeah, so they got these... You just like put putty out like green stuff and then you just roll this roll over in and make textured bases. They donated something I'd never seen before this year, which is a rope making kit where you basically just throw some green stuff in this box and then there's like a gear on the top that you spin and it makes twine and rope and like chains and stuff.
Nice.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Hmm. I know. People were like, what's this box? I'm like, it makes like rope and chains and stuff. And they're like, what?
I don't know. John, you're probably less biased than the rest of us. Did you have a good time at MomCon?
Yeah, I did. I actually really enjoyed my Guild Ball demo. Actually, the Steamforge guys in general are pretty sweet because they also demoed Dark Souls for us, which I liked a lot. So I think that's a pretty fun game. Kind of felt like the video game a little bit. I played in both heats because I scrubbed out of the first one. Well, I scrubbed out of both of them, but I played in both heats. And I had a good time there. that's where I got to enjoy the Ghost Fleet again. Overall, one of the things I like about the convention is that the hotel is nice and relaxed. The people running it don't seem to be like anal about bringing food in or anything weird like that. Or some of the other conventions you go to, they're like, you can't bring in drinks, you can't bring in food. There's no weird rules like that, so it just kind of felt like kind of come in, have fun, play games with your friends.
That's why I really like the small conventions, is because once it gets too big, then the alcohol rules usually come down on you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely no alcohol rules there. There was lots and lots of drinking.
There were alcohol rules, but it was...
The only alcohol rules I recognize is alcohol rules.
Wait, yeah. Good job, Josh.
I mean, Saturday night, I was walking around with like a 64-ounce growler from Josh's brewery. And so obviously that Saturday night was pretty enjoyable for myself. And so, like, I don't know. I had a great time. Got to play some games. Got to hang out with some friends. So it's kind of what I want out of a convention.
Yeah. I think
that's what we – definitely what we want out of a convention, which is pretty much why it's that way.
Which is also why my events don't start until, like, 10 a.m.
Right.
Yeah, because it's what we want out of a convention, yes. Which is not to get
if
up early.
If they could start at noon and it logistically work, I would do it.
I was literally up till – at least 3:30 every morning.
Every night.
Well, that was Magic the Gathering.
No, it was just me hanging out with cool people having a good time.
Crazy degeneracy, just drooling over the smell of cardboard.
Look, it was for my boy. Brendan loves Magic.
Is he going to GP Indy with you?
What's that?
Is he going to GP Indy?
It's not GP Indy, it's GP Omaha.
Cleveland. Oh.
And if he wasn't grounded...
Oh, Cleveland.
Yeah, no, he's not going to GP Cleveland because he will be on a mission trip for church.
Is he grounded from because he was playing too much Magic?
Your son's on a mission from God?
He's going on a mission trip for church, yes.
Nice.
I mean, that's like a common thing that kids do. Anyway.
You give him a suit and like sunglasses while he goes.
All right. Mm-hmm. But I actually was going to take him to GP Omaha as kind of a trip, which is this weekend, but he managed to, like, Brendan's a little different cat, so his teacher said, the teacher was trying to make a point, like, if you don't complete your homework, don't bother turning it in, because I'll just give it right back to you. And Brendan kind of digs in when somebody says, like, well, don't bother, because, you know, I'm just going to give it back to you. He just decided not to turn in a single assignment for the entire quarter. So he literally had zeros on everything. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? She said, don't turn my homework in, so I didn't. And I'm like, that's not how that works. So we've been having a lot of discussions around that. But I told him if he's got his grade up to a C, I would take him. And I think he got his grade up to like a D because he eventually turned it in. But by the time he turned all those assignments in, she obviously reduced what he could get for points.
Mm-hmm. So he was playing too much, is what you're saying.
No, but then I was like, I was trying to talk my wife into letting him go anyway. I was like, maybe we could just go. And she was like, no, you're not teaching him that it's okay to like.
Must suffer actual consequences.
Yeah.
For,
yeah. But I'm like, but I really wanted to go.
So John needs to still go though, because to teach Brendan the lesson, it's for the boy. Yeah. It's for the boy.
Oh, that's actually
it's
sad.
Always for the boy.
It's like suck it. I'm
I would definitely actually double down and just take Tanner instead. And then
if Tanner had an interest, I would. But
no, you punish Tanner too.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get to double dip. On the punishment.
Yeah, you're stuck with Dad.
It's like, what'd you do wrong? Nothing? I don't care. You probably did.
I mean, Tanner did get busted at a girl's house in Ames at 2 in the morning.
Doing what?
Drinking.
And he's hanging 17. With the boys.
Drinking what?
Vodka.
Gin and juice.
Oh, yeah. Laid back. Yep.
His mother took that.
His mind. His money.
Yeah, his mother took that really, really well, let me tell you. Yeah. That was a fun conversation during the con. I was like on the phone with her. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You want me to come home and beat him? Like, I can't if that's what you want. But that's where she was at pretty much. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 17-year-olds.
Well, let's go ahead and end on that beating children note. Yeah.
On that note, John. Who's Jared Fogle's favorite pirate?
Oh, my God. Sir Punch.
Adrian!
Captain Kidd! Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, Nigel, that's not okay.
What?
That is not okay.
That's easily his favorite pirate. Yeah, it's actually a fact.
It's a fact. Yeah. Yar.
Yeah. Yar.
Yar.
Boo.
It's actually Subway. A legitimately good pirate joke.
Mm-hmm.
I approve.
Yeah, it's as good as the rest of them. I would agree.
Have you seen that stupid meme coming? Like, where
capsize! Arr! Yeah.
words.
We skipped past when we were talking about DeShazer at the convention. We got some Troll Dojo. Trolls Dojo. Trolls Dojo.
All right. I'll bite.
Go ahead, John.
What Troll Dojo are you referring to?
The Sweet Borka list, obviously.
Borka.
Oh, God. Okay.
So one.
If it's Borka 1, then I'm totally on board.
If it's Borka.
It is Borka 1. Keith forced me to play this list. It actually did really good. So I went to Kingdom Con, and I got to the final table of the Iron Arena.
Is that the
Iron Gauntlet?
Of the Iron Arena.
Everybody gets to the final table of Iron Arena.
Final table of the Iron Arena.
Iron Gauntlet. That's
how good this list is.
Right, so. That's fantastic. I'm on my WTC entry next year. I'm going to put that on my resume. So Borka 1.
Final table.
Day Carrier, obviously. Rock, Earthborn, Troll Axer. Then Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, Troll Whelps, Stonescribe Chronicler, Full Champions with Scaldy, and Krellstone with the Scribe Elder. And so, if you guys don't know, because Mark III, they gave Borka a new spell. They gave him Arcane Ward. And for people that don't know what that is, it's +2 defense and cannot be targeted by any spells. And okay. So, that with the new champions +2 defense and can't be knocked down if they're touching, puts them at defense 16.
And then,
You put Wrong Eye behind that. Casting what's it called?
Starcross.
Now all of a sudden, defense 16, Starcross. It's really hard to move champions out of a zone. So they're actually pretty effective. And then if the champions get chewed through by whatever reason, throwing it on Rock is really funny because he also can't be knocked down. So defense 14, Rock running around at armor 20 is a kind of a problem for people.
Wait, why can't he be knocked down?
Stumbling drunk.
Yeah, and they gave Rock stumbling drunk.
Rock is stumbling drunk.
Only with Borka, apparently.
Yeah, it's his Borka bond.
That's super annoying.
Man, that is, super annoying.
One quick thing, John, is it a minimum unit of Krulos, then?
Because
otherwise I can't get
it might
to work.
Because the footprint of the list is pretty small.
It's Min okay. Stone, but it has an Elder in it.
Yeah, okay. No, I was 3 points, or I was a little over, so I built your list in more room as you were listing it off. So.
Yeah, and then... And you also have whelps there, so if Borka like stumbling drunks and you have to decide, but when you get hit, you get to choose the order of either stumbling drunk or popping a whelp out. So you can pop a whelp out first and put him in front of Rock. So if you don't want him to get stumbling drunk in a direction, you can throw the whelp in front, so that you're not like throwing the beast away from like gunfire by accident.
Oh, is stumbling drunk mandatory?
Yes, it is mandatory.
Ah, actually, that's a really good interaction.
Yeah, it is a good interaction. Yeah.
And it's really good, and it adds up to 74 points, so you're basically playing down about 18 points. Because it's not a big force. And it's enough to throw more, actually it is to throw more gasoline on the fire, but I actually really love writing lists in the game. I really love playing the game. And the reason why the theme force makes me sad just because I really enjoy that atmosphere of not even the list I want to make, but when I go to a tournament, I want to see the crazy list that my enemies bring. And right now I can try to bring the list that I think will be the anti-meta list, it's easy to kind of predict it with theme forces. And maybe that problem will go away as they add more theme forces. But I kind of like their, the originality and the creativity. And I don't want that from the designers of the game. I want that from the players of the game.
Right. Sure.
And so I much prefer them giving us tools to be creative instead of showing us how they can be creative. Like that to me is more valuable. And so that's what I really want. And so having theme forces where you restrict that, my creativity is what makes me sad. It's not that the theme forces are even that bad. I think they're creative and they're fun, but if they can start developing some theme forces that allow me to be creative, I would just be a happier player.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only thing I actually am kind of curious about on the list is, the champion sounds super annoying, by the way. But why an Earthborn? I guess every time I see an Earthborn in the list, I'm like, why an Earthborn and not a Mauler?
The Animus.
Why an Earthborn? So Earthborns obviously have the most health for the cheap beasts.
Okay.
And also, Signar is really... the lightning is pretty predominant right now, so I enjoyed having the fact that he's immune to all the elements. All
right.
So it kind of makes an interesting matchup against, basically, was it Storm Division? Storm Division. Sure. You can throw a Primal on him and throw him into the enemy's army. Borka, while he can generate 7 Fury for himself, he's only a 5 Fury Warlock. And so he only can handle so much Fury a turn. So throwing a Primal on one of the two heavies a turn isn't the end of the world because he can only handle so much Fury anyway.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a 5 Fury Frenzy check anyway, or a 4 Fury Frenzy check anyway. It's like, meh, Primal seems like a good call.
All right. No, the reason I was asking is because, like, Earth's Blessing, Nigel just said the Animus, is actually relatively pointless.
Also, as we move towards 2017, we can also barely hear you, but as we move towards 2017, the likelihood of there being +2 armor for the Earthborn in the middle of the table is getting really high.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's just the Animus seems mediocre. Lackluster when he's immune to knockdown and immune to cold, which means he's immune to 99% of the immune to stage.
I wouldn't think that Electro Leaps was something that trolls would worry about too much anyway.
Well, no,
not Electro Leaps, but like the primary guns from a Hurricane or Dynamo. Or
sure, that is nice. That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, immune to fire makes you like a pretty good beast versus Legion or Menoth, right? Like, so he's just a good piece that you can put forward. And like Keith was saying, almost every table that Travis built let me have an armor 22 Earthborn before I charged it in.
Fair enough.
Yeah, in a world where the terrain has gone from 5 to 6 pieces to almost always 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
Earthborn looking pretty good.
I didn't recognize that he had 32 hit points. That's pretty relevant.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure.
And you can catch people off guard with an Axer and Earthborn built-in speed, so all of a sudden you're charging really far down the field, because also Borka's feats +2. You can do some janky things that people don't expect.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
Go, Earthborn. This charge is like, yeah.
The list sounds pretty annoying. I don't know.
We're all really confused about what to do now, because ordinarily Troll Dojo on this cast goes for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's true. It's like,
that was sort of, list? I'll give you another
no,
list.
No, it was sort of succinct and to the point.
Yeah,
so
you're just like, here's what I like to play, and I think it's decent, and I'm not going to now go on a soapbox about how it beats all your armies, except it's still unfair to me.
I also like that it was short to the point. And you were like, and here's this cute, cool, not obvious interaction. Because, like, you told us the interactions of the other ones, like the champions and stuff. Those are pretty obvious. They're like, high def, plus Sprong Eye Snapjaw, plus the spell. But I wouldn't have got the whelp thing for a while staring at the list.
Yeah.
Actually.
Pretty cool.
I love when stuff like that comes out in Dojo.
Yeah.
You're just like.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I dig it. It's the first time I've ever enjoyed Troll Dojo.
Oh, Josh.
Then we have failed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was supposed to be painful for you, right?
It's supposed to be.
I could go over Rock's stats if you want.
Sure.
He's speed 5, strength 12, math 7. It's just...
I'm not even off-put right now.
Gotcha. You're not triggered at all?
Not at all.
How did I not catch that Rock got stumbling drunk in Mark 3? That's pretty...
It's so...
Well, it's only his bond with Borka,
but
I mean,
still
what was his bond before? Oh, he just had an infinity, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Borka 1 and 2 are both considered unplayably bad right now. Is why you've never heard of Rock stumbling drunk.
Oh,
I mean,
don't troll the players just consider the entire faction unplayably bad right now?
Sorry, what's that?
I don't think that's true.
I said, don't troll players just assume all their stuff's garbage.
We're just functioning off of what Chad says, so.
Well, and the internet.
I mean, trolls suffer from a lot of what, like, Circle and Crix players are saying, too, is that they just changed the faction and some of the ways in which you interact with it. I don't even know for sure. I don't play nearly enough to say if it's good or bad. I just know for sure that it's different. Like, one of the ways I used to play trolls in Mark II is I used to throw rage on a lot of infantry.
Yeah.
I used to throw a lot of, like, you know, basically plus strength to make Pow 16, like, weapon masters charging down the field a lot. And so now I have to put a lot of emphasis on my beast to do the heavy work or be okay with POW 12 weapon masters. And so it's just different. It's not necessarily that they're good or bad. Like Earthborn I actually like because being able to have and being immune to everything is better to me than the – even though that other rule was really fun to play with, it was really janky to try to get like that +7 strength weapon next to him so that you're hitting like POW 22 and like the unreliability of it. And like I don't know – while it was a fun idea, more often than not, it didn't get executed well in, like, high competitive play, whereas this is always good.
Yeah, him being cheap and really hard to kill is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
As John has been continually pestering me, going, like, Keith, I need you to build my lists for me. I've been like, try some Earthborns, I guess. You know? Like, yeah, you're right.
None of that is true. Like I said, I always have to repeat what Keith says anyway. So, like, but it's really, it's just, it's interesting to see other people's opinions on it. And I did pester him to see, make him look at Trolls, which was extremely painful for him. But I do like, because my meta doesn't exist. Like, I could, I have a 4-month old, so I don't get to get out to play a lot of places that are far away. And
yeah,
my like two friends that I play with on a regular basis both quit War Machine. And so I basically, I've played Kingdom Con and I played at Mom Con, and then I played two or three games of Vassal in the last 11 months. So I have not played a lot of War Machine.
Yeah.
Right. So, but, and honestly, one of the things that makes me sad is I just keep building lists with the idea that hopefully at some point, I'll get a theme force that will let me use the cool interactions that I've thought of, because I don't think I can play with some of the models right now. Like Sea King scares me. He's 42 points. I don't know how to make that guy viable.
Considering, like, a Mountain King and a Glacier King exist for less points and are probably just better.
The Sea King's rules are like super intriguing though. It's like, he's super interesting. God, I wish.
So what I do enjoy though is looking at that model and just looking at its interactions, and then hoping that someday I'll be able to use an interaction I've come up with to play with. Even though the theme force feel like I've been restricted, I can still look at the game a lot and try to break things.
Right.
Have you assembled a Sea King yet?
Have I what?
Have you assembled a Sea King yet?
I haven't bought one yet. No.
Do you know his in his groin region? It's just covered in barnacles.
Yeah.
Like the entire thing is just barnacles.
He's got the crabs.
Just.
The modeler actually came to the Troll Facebook group and talked about that for a little bit. He said that he didn't expect that to stay. It was just a placeholder solution until they cut up the master mold, and then by accident they ended up keeping it.
Huh. Now he has crabs.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they were a bunch of tiny crabs instead of barnacles. That'd be fair.
We actually also talked through kind of an interesting Sea King list where it's like, man, if he costs like 6 points less than this, but it is at least a theme force, then maybe this list would be good. But it was like, so the basic idea was take Calandra and a Sea King and a bunch of Earthborns. And the Sea King uses his animus to vomit out a water pool. And then the Earthborns all like form up around the water and you star cross them. And it's just a bunch of DEF 14 heavies that are super annoying.
And then they're just like, nah, that Sea King knows Def 7. I'm just going to murder it. And then the water will be gone. I mean,
the Sea King can be armored to be POW 24, and he could have two Earthborns in front of it tanking for him, right? So
that's pretty
in theory, because of the Reach 4. So you can try to like block off charges with two Earthborns. And with the way the boards work, it's kind of a kiss curse, right? Because the Earthborns are great, but now the Sea King might not be able to move around. So I'm not really sure how it's going to play out.
I think you should test it though. This is what I like. This is what I liked about War Machine in Mark II, and I feel like I don't do it very much in Mark III. Is this stuff? Is
like
just
finding
like,
the things that you're just
janky.
Like, this is janky, but it seems like it might have a prayer of being good enough. So I'm gonna put it on the table a couple times.
Yeah,
yeah.
And one of the bonuses, it's like 8 models, so you don't have to feel like you win or lose, but you're not gonna be exhausted by the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 8 models is. That's,
you need a
you're
good
playing
name.
Guild Ball.
You need to develop this list, and we need to come up with a name for it.
Hey, does anybody know, is the Revelator out yet? It's still not out, right?
No idea.
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure.
Still waiting for that stupid thing. You talking about the Sea King has made me kind of think, like, that was something I kind of wanted to build lists around. But
yep.
So basically, to make a healthy meta or healthy game, you need the Magistrate's patronage, which is like a Japanese slang for people who root for, like, teams that aren't the Yankees. So you just need that, like, sort of that in this game. It's like off-tier stuff that you can get behind, you know, not the obvious big things.
Oh, John, in particular?
Just in general, that's, like, what I'm hearing basically from everybody. Is like, this is what I really like, is these little interactions that aren't, like, obvious tier list stuff. It's like, basically, everybody wants to play
the Magistrate's
Patronage.
That's fun, yeah.
I mean, panning for gold is some of the fun of War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And it's just, like, the gold rush is over. And so, as you're panning nowadays, usually you expect... It's like you're kind of panning with the expectation of not finding anything because
well now
like,
it's
this is cute enough and maybe it's only a little bit worse than the best obvious vanilla list I could build.
Yeah, now it's just Fury Road, so we're all just standing underneath an entrance hoping that they like pour water on us.
Right.
Yeah. Do not become addicted to the tier list.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, maybe I'll just start building some vanilla lists and run him into things and see if I can get past this malaise that I'm in. But
I was going to say, at some point, and this is, it carries some problems. This idea that I'm about to pitch carries not an insignificant number of issues. But it would be cool if, like, there could be potentially, like, a community push to start running a bunch of No Theme Force tournaments. And just to let, like, some creativity back in here and there. And then, but the only thing that has to happen before that can work is that we have to fix some of the factions that don't function without their theme forces. Like the sub-faction Cephalix or probably Grimkin when they come out are not going to be super happy about not being able to run a theme force. They were definitely balanced with theme force only in mind. So it's like, it's not quite as easy as just saying, let's run a tournament with no theme forces. Because it's a little exclusionary almost. But
yeah, there are some I think there's that would struggle more than others.
There's almost nobody, though, that plays Cephalix or Grimkin who only play Cephalix or Grimkin. So it's not that exclusionary.
Yeah, I suppose. So you could just say no theme forces, and it's like, ah, bummer, Cephalix.
Exactly.
Tough.
Maybe I will take my conversions out. It's painted beautifully.
Exactly. You never dusted them off. It's like a totally fresh like perspective. Yeah. It's like an easy way to just take a break. And
truth.
Right. I approve. Yeah.
Mm. And they have a great theme force.
They have a ridiculous theme force, but yes.
Yeah, which actually would be cool, like, honestly, if people, that's, again, like, I could play Josh 8 times a week, and that's super sweet, but it's like, there's something about it if, like, some of your meta erodes, it just takes some sucks the wind out of your sails.
No, it absolutely does, because yeah. I feel like, I mean, losing Keith in our meta was a huge blow, just in the standpoint that, mm-hmm. like, for whatever reason, Crump and my schedule never, like, line up, even yeah. though I know he's pretty much always good to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it pretty much feels like I either play against John's Minoth of the Week or I play against Kador.
Yep. Just, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. And yeah. I like enjoy the games. I could totally do it. But something about it, it's not just John. It's also John Eggers and like Chad Garr. Like there's just a lot of guys who kind of have a malaise or a Thomas or Finken who play Crix. They're just not excited about like what was going on for them.
Yeah.
And so like there's a lot of like the break takers, you know, because they just see people playing Kador tier lists or Ghost Fleet,
right.
and are just a little bitter that they either have to like subscribe to something they never wanted to do, or so if everybody starts, it just as if some of the energy comes back across the board, then it's more exciting. Keith's departure is like super timely. It's like compounded by the fact that I've never before wanted to like face tank into like Charger spam with Kane 3. Like I used to like avoid. Like, that was just an unfun play experience I wanted to avoid. And now it's, like, all I want to play against. It's just, like...
Yeah, because you have the lists where you're like, I can do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to challenge myself. Like, oh, this is it. But, like, I used to hate
how
Gatsby
many Winter
too.
Guards can you kill before I kill all of your Chargers with these rockets?
Yeah.
Yep. He can probably kill a lot of Winter Guards.
You out-threat them, right? Yeah. Range 14?
14 with a 6-inch walk, yeah.
Yeah, it's longer than range 12?
Yep. And I got wind wall, so it's going to be a little
I mean,
tough.
Nigel, you can bring it, but I'm going to knock you down. That's all I'm saying.
He gets knocked down, but he gets up again.
Yeah.
You're right. Never going to get him down.
No,
you don't. You're just down.
Windwall, bro.
Windwall is pretty good against you.
Like, your whole faction is dead to that to those 8 Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole faction?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yo.
I like how Nigel just absolutely threw Omaha under the bus about how he was going to smack him around.
Yeah.
And then they went so far as to put a bounty on his head. And then Nigel proceeded to not show up to any tournaments at MomCon. And to be fair, he was working on trophies. Like, Nigel worked like 26 or 28 hours straight and then just died and then rose again.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel donned the hell out of the tournament.
I did. Yeah. Don, what does that even mean? I ate chocolate covered Twinkies and look down on everybody here.
Exactly.
Okay, I did not. That's not what I did.
Hey, wait a minute.
From your castle in the sky. Castle,
yeah, my ivory tower.
Can this not be a narrative? I don't look down on people. Like, that's actually not true.
Yeah, not you, John. Don.
Yeah, Don. That guy on Twitter.
Yeah, Don Jamaris.
Yeah.
I thought it was Don J. Marie.
Yar.
All right.
What was the other point I wanted to make? Damn it. I lost it.
What are the odds
about
of
War Machine and playing games or something? Or?
Yeah, it was War Machine playing games, and then, yeah, I don't know. It escapes me.
I mean, up until Con Prep, I was actually playing pretty regularly.
Yep.
the con prep really. I mean, you have to remember.
That's what I'm trying to decide is what your definition of regular.
You have to understand too, Josh, that I was traveling for like 3 out of 4 weeks because I was at the Sioux.
I'm well aware that you were gone and traveling. That doesn't.
It's like once a month.
I mean,
I was playing like every week for a while there.
I feel like you got in about 4 games after ATC, but
no, oh my god, that's a few more than that, but not many.
I have an idea for next year's con name.
Yeah?
50 Shades of Games. Boom! And then the worst part is
that's still Nigel, will that still be topical next year?
I think so. Mostly because
that's
it's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic.
It's a literary classic.
Also, it's
right
totally,
up there with the Grapes of Wrath.
It totally works because everybody shows up, like as we were just saying, the whole...
I broke Josh.
Everybody shows up. And they're just into missionary. They're just like, I just play War Machine, or I just play this. They're just into their missionary style.
Oh, my God.
And then by the time they leave, they're like snorting coke off a donkey while getting filleted by a midget or whatever. Like, they're just into whatever.
A.K.A. Like, playing Malifaux. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or Infinity.
It is the 50 Shades of Games Con. It's like basically
nailed it. We
can make
t-shirts.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Games.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, like Andy Welton. Andy Welton in like S&M gear or whatever.
That would go great with the good old Scorn Orgy shirt that never happened.
Oh yeah, we should have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean we're unfettered. We have no mothership that we have to like do approval with, you know? So it's like
We are the mothership now.
So we call it the 50 Shades of Games, and then we make the Scorn Orgy shirt, but we need sex jokes for every other game to do that.
Hmm.
I mean, Infinity seems like it's got to be easy.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Nomads that's pretty easy.
Nomads or, I assume, the Combined Army, probably.
Mm.
Isn't there some kind of tentacle beast? There's got to be.
There isn't, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Infinity is down the crapper.
Yeah.
I only play tentacle beast games.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. As long as it's not Persona 5, right?
Yeah.
There's like one guy who kind of, not really though.
Mm-hmm. You got some tentacly dudes.
Like well, Crump, you got a year to work on sexual innuendos for every game.
An old Renaissance painting of like a, just like, that was the Scorn Orgy shirt was we were just going to take like an old sex painting and then just Photoshop Scorncaster faces over the, we could still do that.
Can we do?
No, it was going to be just a pile of elephants.
Yeah, that also is great. Just
I like the pile of elephants a little better.
Because we can actually like make it and not get cease and desisted.
That.
I don't know how much time, like if the podcast was run like a little long in the tooth or whatever, but did we want to talk about a little bit of spoiler stuff? Because actually it's a little bit topical or it's a little bit interesting.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Spoiler stuff? This is new to me.
They announced the bunkhouse. The new model type, which is the building. So they're releasing a 120mm immobile building that you'll be able to buy as part of your army, and it literally just generates dudes. So it's like a tower defense, or it's like a MOBA idea.
It's like a big sentry stone.
Yeah. So it'll just be a big 120, and it has turrets and stuff. It also has guns that defend it. I mean, it's literally a MOBA, so you can buy
a
MOBA.
It's a Signar-only model, though, right?
Currently. That's the first one. It's a new model type that everybody's going to get one.
I hope yours poops out Kossites.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll be so mad. It's just a giant, like, tree trunk that shoots apples at people and poops out Kossites. I'll be so pissed.
Mine is obviously going to make high shields. So.
Yeah. You're going to have another Cloaca that just dumps out dwarfs.
If yours does not print steelheads, it's...
That would be sweet.
And I just will most likely prim Winter Guard.
Actually, yours would be cool if it worked in reverse. Like, the ones that you poop out with your battle engines had to run into it, and then it shoots the dwarves at people.
Oh,
would be sweet.
Like they're just evil Knievels.
That's what the battle engine should have done in the first place. You should have sacked a dwarf, and then
just boosted your damage roll. Yeah, it just you hit somebody with, like, a pow 20 in the face. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Dwarf
that would
bullets.
Be amazing. with crit slam, because they obviously are hitting with your hammer.
Oh, yeah,
like, yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Would be
just
amazing.
The Dwarven Doom Diver.
Where was that bunker information at? Was that in the
CID? No, it's on their latest Insider, their big Primecast. It was
that's
on Primecast.
Right. That's right, it was on Primecast.
I was going to say, it was definitely not in the CID. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, okay.
It will be on CID soon.
I'll be interested to see where they go with that. Like, I don't love the idea of more 120mm bases on the table.
Well, this one I don't think moves.
Right? I know, but I just, I don't.
It's 100mm, yeah, and it probably has advanced deploy or
something.
I
really feel like there's a lot of 120mm bases on the table.
That's
right
because
now.
It's... too big
I just hate physically moving them.
No, it's just the point cost and like.
No, I just
did. They even say it was on a 120 mil base, or is it just like
they 100% said one? It is a structure on a 120 millimeter base. So basically, what they said is they gave a bunch of vague spoilers on Primecast. The internet went bananas as far as like they raged, and then Will selectively released spoilers through J/forums. And described it's a 120 millimeter model that's immobile and may or may not have advanced deploy. So
it deploys on the table.
It may have that Legion. It may have that Legion thing, whatever that does, where it like deploys like 21 inches up.
It better not have advanced deploy, because if they're going to keep making theme forces that take away advanced deploy,
then
you get an immobile model like 120 mil immobile model that's worth however many points. You're just like, oh. Affects nothing this game. Sweet.
Yeah. And then also Siege 3 or Siege 2 was spoiled. Kind of.
Isn't he a Crix caster now or something?
No, Siege 2 is just Siege 2, but he's going to make a turret. He places a turret as an immobile piece of terrain.
He's just Torbjorn?
He's Torbjorn. He's literally Torbjorn. And he can pick it up and put it back down later. So it's like a turret that probably shoots in the opponent's turn or has some sort of reaction shot. Hmm. And then, yeah.
Sweet torque.
Doesn't he have a jetpack too?
That I don't know. I just know about the turret thing.
I swear, if his feet is his turret, gets to shoot like a lot more.
Yeah.
Oh my god! It'll just be someone who's like, Torbjorn's my favorite character.
I just with these spoilers and John DeShazer on the episode, I felt like there was a a natural synergy there.
Siege also throws out armor packs.
See, I don't play Heroes or Overwatch or whatever you're talking about.
You're basically all the game. You have to play like the whole Blizzard catalog to understand what's being incorporated into Privateer Press. Yeah.
So in my mind, all I'm thinking is the scene from Terminator 2 when they're like, he's got a damn minigun.
And then also spoiled is that every season they're going to have an outfit that you can grind. So every time you kill a guy, you'll get a piece of an outfit. Potentially, you're like a roll of D6. And you'll collect it.
Okay,
and then
so that one I get.
Yeah,
I get that one.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Now I want to go play Overwatch.
It wasn't Diablo 3.
No, I love me some sweet.
Okay.
Didn't you just play Watch last night?
I did.
Yeah.
Hey Keith, does anybody in Convergence have RFP?
I don't think so.
Currently blanking.
I don't think anybody does. I can't think of anything that does.
I can't either. It's making me a little sad.
So you can't beat Ghost Fleet.
Well, yeah, that was my issue.
Just kill...
Doesn't that tier list give you blessed magic
just
weapons on your...
Just kill Blackbane.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, hang out and play.
Yeah,
locally.
I can't think of anything right off the top of my head anyway. No Shatterstorm.
I bet you could hunt Blackbane with the angels.
It's not Blackbane.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, the problem isn't Blackbane. The problem is the 9 to 12 pirates that come back every turn.
Maybe I can just beat them with...
So it's not incorporeal.
I'm bringing my own guys back every turn.
No, but doesn't Blackbane also bring back guys as well?
No, so...
He has Death Toll, yeah. He can bring back...
Yeah.
Not against Convergence, he's not.
He has to kill your dudes.
Fair enough.
Whereas the other pirates are just like, poop, 12 pirates.
No, yeah.
Also, where they're incorporeal, they can't make free strikes. Like, the Blackbanes are no issue whatsoever. It's entirely the other guys.
Fair enough.
Fair. And then you have... The other guys.
Yep.
The other guys.
Such a good movie. I think my favorite.
It's weird that they power slammed. It's cool. I've always loved the Revenant crew, but it's weird that they just power slammed it into like obvious tops.
It's
like,
because they didn't sell me in Mark II.
Mm. I know, but they sold so little that they don't need to sell them anymore. Like, it's been so long. It's a loss completely.
Amazing thing about it now is that we're talking about it like, oh my god, WTF, barbecue, whatever.
Yeah.
But like when this Theme Force came out, literally every single person shat all over it.
I get to take credit for
really
not doing
Joey
that.
Were here so he could have corrected your like internet failings.
Yeah. It's too bad Lance isn't editing this one, because we could go I was like, I think this tier list is pretty legit. And then I was like, I would take like 3 rev crews, and then it was like, you're an idiot. There was a lot of, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't think I was here for that.
I don't think I declared you an idiot.
Oh, it was declared. Well, by Keith, but yes, still.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Nigel.
Anyway, we've been at this for a long time.
We were going to keep this short for John's sake.
Basically, Nigel won at War Machine, and the con was sweet.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the cast.
Nigel has crushed War Machine for all times.
Wait, it wasn't Karchev.
No, Nigel himself was the end of War Machine.
Yep.
As we know it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I feel fine.
Nigel the Terrible.
Con was sweet, and John... is the man that you want to contact. John DeShazer is the man you want to contact in case you ever have anything go wrong with your WoW game.
Yep.
He is level one tech support. Well, no, we just promoted him to level one tech support.
Poor John.
Please don't stab me, John.
Yeah, I think it's john.deshazer@gmail.com. Forward all concerns about World of Warcraft.
Too. I'm actually super happy.
So, yeah, two things. First off, that's not it. And second, I don't work on that game, never have. So
I just love that John's going to get like pulled into his office on like Wednesday. And then because people have been getting complaints about, like, we've been getting a lot of complaints about, are you saying that Bork is good? The company does not share that opinion.
Nice.
All right. Well, that's a cast.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Muzon Minis. This has been John.
Josh.
Nigel.
Crump.
Keith.
John.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Just say, hand me my drink, and then I'll hand you your drink.
For the record, War Machine still sucks.
We don't really stand on ceremony here.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So, like I said earlier, when we weren't recording, John and Nigel are literally the reason.
You can't blame me, actually.
Why War Machine attendance was down.
I've been super upbeat.
No.
Yeah, you actually also can't blame me.
You may have been super upbeat, but you also super weren't at the con.
Well, yeah, I have bronchitis.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, so I'm like constantly hacking up half my lungs and like dying.
He also worked bronchitis for like 24 hours.
Social disorder.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant Persona 5. Yeah. Persona 5.
Sweet. That's Joey's problem. I mean, amongst others, yes.
Right. I mean, it's okay, Nigel. John DeShazer flew from California to come and see me and you, and then, I mean, you didn't want to hang out.
I stayed up on Thursday, Friday morning, stayed till 7 a.m. trying to get Chris Weinstein here, and then organizing his ride, and then that rolled into the next day of being trophies, and I didn't get home till Saturday at noon. Huh. So then I like woke up at like 9 p.m. Uh-huh. And then I just basically, like, I didn't get to play Blood Bowl. I was basically done. I was like, well, I didn't get to play Blood Bowl. Fuck this. I'm out. Like, it's not my con. And then if I go there, I'll end up having to work. So I'm not going to, like, spend one more fucking minute doing anything for this fucking con if I'm not going to get to enjoy anything. So that was basically my...
You would have enjoyed watching that terrible game that looks awful but sounds amazing that just Sager and I were
War Machine?
Watching. No, the Battle Unknown Player Battlefield or something.
Oh. Yeah.
Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
Okay, Player Unknown Battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the public part of the name?
What? I don't know. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Yeah, it's Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. PUBG.
Pubs. You just take one word and you make it into two for an acronym, Keith. That's how it works.
I don't care for that.
Yeah.
Is this a video game? What?
Yeah, so this game is an airplane flies over an island, like an old Russian military island.
The classic Russian military island.
You are one of 100 players that have to parachute out of this plane and get down to the ground and then scavenge for stuff and basically kill each other to the last man.
Is this a Blizzard game?
You guys should make it a Blizzard game.
I mean, it will be if it's popular, right?
You should probably, like,
that's how Blizzard works.
You should probably, like, take the good things, but dumb them down slightly, and then make that game.
So this is actually at the end, despite being called a pre-ramp.
Well, also, and Keith has the ability to edit it out.
Keith can magically make it all go away. Yes.
Yeah, but he won't. He could have magically made all my sour grapes last week go away, and he didn't.
Yeah, John, no one can make your sour grapes go away.
I've actually had a pretty good attitude.
You have to eat them yourself.
Yeah. I've had a pretty good attitude lately.
No. About Magic the Gathering, maybe.
I mean, I guess we could make your sour grapes go away, but I thought that sort of operation was considered inhumane.
Right. Well,
I think the Catholic Church got into some trouble for that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm actually not that negative on War Machine. I actually quite like the game. It's fun to play.
As I said all weekend, and this will go counterpoint to our podcast, War Machine is an excellent game if you don't touch the internet. Like, if you just go to your shop each week and play, and don't, like, look at anything CID or anything Privateer Press does, it's pretty fun.
It's still as fun, pretty much as fun to play as it has always been. That is true.
As long as you're not a Scorn player. Well, I mean, I guess it's as fun as it's always been for a Scorn player.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much as fun to play as it's always been. I mean, if for trolls, you just take the aggregate. Like, Mark 1 was awful, Mark 2 is great, Mark 3 is meh.
Fair enough. I still think it's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game, I have a lot of fun when I play it. I just, the only thing I've said is I don't enjoy building lists for it anymore, which is where I derived most of the enjoyment.
But that's not even true. You've enjoyed building non-theme lists. You just haven't enjoyed putting them on the table.
Yeah, because, so I came to the conclusion, and this may, I'm open to the idea that
this is all War Machine chalk. This is very out of place.
I know.
Yeah, save it.
Hold on.
It's a pre-ramble, so we can talk about War Machine.
This is the only place that we talk about War Machine anymore.
I mean, we're switching the format to a 40K podcast. Like, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my point is,
I'm out.
I am open to the idea that I'm wrong about this, but I believe that if you don't play Theme Forces, if you want to play competitively, that it's very difficult to compete without playing a Theme Force, which greatly limits your ability to build lists. And once I came to that conclusion, that's when I decided that, you know.
So like I said at the con, can we just all admit that I was 3 months ahead of the rest of you idiots?
Yeah, you're the best, Josh.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
I actually super
enjoyed it. All you wanted to hear, because you definitely want to hear it from John.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Time. Yeah. Time will heal all
the most important thing is for John to be like, Josh, you were right.
I'm coming at it from a different angle. It's like kind of like in, say you play like Final Fantasy 15 and then you beat it and then you're going for the playthrough. You go like play through the second time and you get like 2/3 of the way there and you're like, I already beat this game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to. I feel like that's what
Nigel,
Mark 3 is for me.
When did you beat War Machine?
What? Basically, every edition previously.
This is a perfect analogy. Yeah. As long
perfect
as
analogy.
You previously had beat War Machine.
I already can see with my awesome Kador tier list that if I wanted to just win everything I could, you know, I just throw 10 Marauders and 20 Rockets at people and then I just win a bunch of games. I don't need to, like, actually go through the work of it. You know what I mean? I just sort of, I push the ball up and up for the hill. But I kind of get the idea, and I don't need to, like, keep pushing it up there.
Nigel is theoretically the War Machine Weekend champion at this point.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. If I wanted to play in it, I'd just house it.
Is it even is it even theoretical, really?
Like, it's not really.
Not really.
Although, yeah. Nigel, I got to be straight with you. Kador just can't beat Kane 3, so...
Really? Are you just sure that people from Minneapolis that play Kador can't beat Kane 3? I'm pretty sure it's a Minnesota thing.
Wait, you mean Wisconsin?
No, no. I mean Minnesota. Most of those guys, Tom Clueless and those guys, are all from Minnesota, came down.
Oh.
And got roundly annihilated by basically anybody that wasn't from Minnesota. And then that's how it worked. And they all play Kador. I don't like throwing shade at them, you know, it's more power to them, whatever, but...
I love that a statistically larger portion of War Machine players from Kador, or from Minnesota have always played Kador.
Yeah, yeah. It's like half of all Minnesotans, half of War Machine players in Minnesota are Kador players.
Yep. Just always thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm. Yep.
Is that because of you?
No, it's because it's a land of ice and snow, yeah, so you just have an affinity for, like, the Russophile sort of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. You eat cabbage, you drink vodka, and you play Kador.
Okay, then.
Oh, Chris gave me a new outlook on vodka. It technically counts as a vegetable.
Oh, yeah.
This is made from potatoes.
I mean, technically, doesn't they all then?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, insofar as wheat is a vegetable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Is technically, but doesn't provide any of the same nutrients.
Yeah. So. Well, potatoes.
Potatoes aren't exactly. Yeah.
Pretty sure if we threw potato skins into a bottle of vodka, it would be as healthy as a potato.
And for the record, Josh, back to our previous comment, I only started playing Magic because my son wanted to, and now I play because I'm actually having a lot of fun doing it.
I don't even know what previous comment he's referring to.
I don't know. Yeah.
You were, like, blowing me up for, like, playing Magic.
I don't think that I did blow you up for playing Magic.
Yeah, he was blowing me up for being a crumbo about
Josh was playing Magic, too. Like, you guys just sat around playing Magic all con.
It wasn't the whole con. I played 3 drafts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you play anything else, though?
7% of the time you were at
I played Judgment. I played
Dark Souls. Which is like Forever Grind.
And I took some guys to Confluence to drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I just sort of hung out and chatted. I actually had a pretty prosperous con.
I actually did all of those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And played a little more Magic.
Except for the Judgment and the Dark Souls part.
Mm-hmm. John played Judgment.
Did he?
Wait, oh, yeah.
Judgment?
He did not the game. He played his own version.
He sat in Judgment.
Exactly. No. Eating his chocolate-covered Twinkies.
Classic Don.
Yeah. Not fair. That's actually not true. I did play Star Wars Destiny, which was cool, with Ricard.
Haven't you played that game before?
I had not.
Oh, I thought you had.
Nope.
Did you like it?
I did. It's actually pretty interesting. It's kind of like, I need to play it more because I don't know how deep it is, but it kind of reminded me of Hearthstone in that it's like a simpler version of Magic in a lot of ways with a little more random in the dice. So, but I guess there's no land, so I don't know. Maybe it's less random. I'm not sure. But the game was fun. I beat Ricard twice, which is always good. He said it doesn't count as victories, though, because it's demos, and he was supposed to lose.
So it's not a skill-based game, then, is what you're saying.
I was wondering if that was coming. Anyway.
No input about Destiny, John?
I love the game. I own, like, almost every card, so I don't disagree with any of his statements. I think it is a little shallower, but I think it makes it easier to reach for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a much smaller game at this point, so it has to be shallower. Like, nothing... You can't release a card game and just be as deep as Magic, because Magic's been around for 25 years. Is that about right?
A little longer.
I'm not sure.
I think.
I mean, the thing I like about Destiny is while it feels a little bit of random when you first start playing, there's a lot of skill in trying to basically do your luck mitigation and controlling the battlefield, even though there is a random element. So, like, knowing when to hold cards to reroll dice versus when you want to hold resources to manipulate your enemy's dice and stuff like that, as opposed to just throwing down big things and hitting people with them.
Right.
Would you say it's important to know when to hold them and when to fold them?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
What about when to walk away?
And when to run.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to run.
You better count right your blessings. Now.
But you never count your money.
While you're sitting at the table. There's time enough for counting.
When the dealing's done.
But, I mean, they've only had, like, what?
I'm Kenny Rogers!
It doesn't hurt John's love of the game that he pulled, like, $250 out of cards out of 10 packs while he was at MomCon.
Did you really?
No, that was really sweet. So, yeah, I pulled Force Speed and Palpatine at MomCon, and then plus a couple other legendaries out of, like, 10 packs. And with the market right now, that's a decent amount of money.
Well done. So what are the packs retail for? Like, $3.99? So you got six times?
No, $3.
$3. They're only $3?
Yeah.
Should have gone with $3.50.
Huh. I thought they were $4 for their packs. They're only $3, huh?
That'd be about $3.50.
John's like, Magic mm-hmm. Gathering is the worst.
Yeah, if I were president, that'd be my first, like, executive order, is that everything that's either $4 or $3 is $3.50. There's no...
All the memes, immediately.
Yeah. Just... Nice. Well, that is...
More positive impact on America than Trump's already had. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only thing I'm kind of curious about, and maybe, John, you can answer this, because my impression is that Destiny is not very accessible right now just because it's difficult to get cards.
That's a fact.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely depends on your region. Like Southern California, there's a lot of stores, and they all run out. But there's also a lot of players. So while it's hard to like get individual cards, if you don't mind paying third market prices, it's not, or second market prices, it's not terrible. And usually since there's enough people trying to sell, you can get it for cheaper than like the miniature market or whatever prices. Cause like Force Speed, like I said, is going for like $65 on miniature market, but, you can probably get it for 50 or 40 if you're trying to get it from an individual. So like it is expensive though. So that's for sure.
So when you build a deck, it's like 30 cards, right?
I think so.
All right.
I haven't built a deck in a while.
Trying to figure out like what the average cost for like, a good competitive Destiny deck is.
$50 times 30 cards. That's insane.
Well,
I mean, it's cap of 2 per card. I think you're right. I think it is 30 cards. I mean, if you're okay with just building a competitive deck instead of having to build like, or getting one of every card, there's a lot of very affordable decks that are competitive.
Yeah, I can imagine. Also, Ricard,
it's more the collectors that get screwed.
Yeah. Ricard is such a doofus. I love that guy. Ricard. But
he was a ton of fun to talk to again. I always love hanging out with Ricard.
He's the best.
It was sweet of him to come to Iowa.
Right? All the way from Sweden?
Yeah.
And then Banky to drive 14 hours to win every tournament?
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet, too.
The true king of the north.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we sent back a crown with him, so...
It did. He has to bring it back. But I love Zach, by the way, because I think... I swear Colin went and bought this horrible, like, king's crown from, like a Halloween shop for the con.
Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't him. But we gave that away last year to, like, the War Machine Weekend winner.
Yeah.
And Zach brought it back.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And donated it. And now Banky has it, so he's got to bring it back.
Yeah.
And it'll just
it's a new con tradition.
Be a lice-infested hat.
If he doesn't bring it back, then he's no true Canadian.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Banky said he was coming back, and I think Ricard said he was going to do everything in his power to get back. He had so much fun.
Yeah.
Did you see Banky in their post about Mountain Dew SA?
No.
That's apparently a... I haven't seen that yet. There's like a, it's a thing for the summer.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, parents, if you have children, this is the time when you skip ahead in the podcast, but I want to tell the story about Josh's conversation at Confluence. Cause I almost
Josh,
peed.
Josh Bates.
Josh
not,
Bates.
Not Mike.
Cause I almost peed my pants. I was laughing so hard.
I don't want to edit that. Let's just say that a Canadian managed to tell the funniest like rant about fellatio that I've ever heard. It can't be reproduced. Let's not try.
I would agree with that.
All right. There was your 15 minutes of fame, Josh Bates.
What a cock tease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I almost cried. I was laughing so hard.
It was excellent.
Yep.
It encapsulated all of my feelings about fellatio.
Who knew a Canadian would be such an expert?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't. They also have... Yeah. All right.
I mean, of all the things to make fun of Canadians about, that one is weird to me.
Yeah.
It was great them coming down and about every hour informing me about their healthcare. It's like every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
Be like, I was waiting for someone to get injured at the con, and then just be like, if only.
If only the con was in Canada. Everyone would be.
I mean, I remember at a Mayhem Cup past, this is a great story about American healthcare. One of our participants at a previous Mayhem Cup had a seizure.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, dear God, he's having a seizure. Call an ambulance. And so an ambulance was called. And by the time the ambulance got there, he was conscious and cognizant again. And if not fine, at least okay enough to say, get that ambulance and all the paramedics away from me. Because all they're trying to do is rob me.
Yeah.
Like that is how Americans feel about healthcare.
Accurate.
Like, oh God, I'm having a seizure. Make sure the ambulance doesn't get me.
It's the Baba Yaga, or what's the? Dang it, it's John Wick.
It's Baba Yaga.
Is it? Okay, yeah.
You nailed it.
I haven't seen that movie,
but you kind of ruined it after you nailed it. So.
Yeah,
I've not managed to watch John Wick 2 for a second time yet. I'm wondering how well it holds up.
What's your definition of hold up?
Well, sometimes...
Is it as good as he remembers seeing it in the theater?
Sometimes you watch a movie and it's pretty good the first time. I would classify John Wick 2 as pretty good, like pretty okay. But then you watch it again and you're like, well, this actually wasn't pretty okay.
It's so sort of like having
Force Awakens for me was pretty good. And then the second time I watched it, a guy was like, actually, I don't think I like this that much because it didn't hold up.
Because all your nostalgia buttons had already been pushed, and so you're like...
Evaluating it for as a movie.
My suggestion to everyone that says they like Rogue One, watch it two or three times.
I watched it once. Did not. Yeah. Everyone I mean, just like once.
That's the J.J. Abrams spell, right? You watch it the first time and you're like, ooh, nostalgia feels good. And then you watch it again and you're like,
Unless it's Star Trek and then you're just like, what the hell happened? Like right away, 15 minutes in. F this guy.
Or if you just happen to know that his formula just always involves making an enemy that's either just a bigger version of you or a bigger version of something you've seen before or just something enormous. If the threat isn't something that is physically too large to comprehend, Abrams wants no part of it.
One of the weirder arguments that I've had about movies with people is like whenever I start talking about Rogue One and Force Awakens, and I'm just like, yeah, Force Awakens was better than Rogue One. And all like the like hardcore Star Wars nerds are just like, are you insane? Rogue One is so good. Force Awakens is crap. And I'm like, literally 6 months ago, you were telling me how great Force Awakens was and how, like, it wasn't just a rehash of New Hope. And now you're just like, Rogue One's so good because Force Awakens was just a rehash of New Hope. And so it's kind of, I'm just like, it's so ridiculous. And part of me just wants to shake them and be like, look, the beloved franchise that you love so much made exactly 1.5 good movies. So, like, shake out of it.
Yeah.
They're mostly crap.
Whoa, hold on. Whoa. Slow down. Return of the Jedi was actually good. Sorry, it was.
No, I
rewatched
it. New
Hope was also good.
It depends. It's good if you're, like, 12 or high. Like, those are your two options.
Well, that's also just plain good. So, then, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I love the Goonies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just like the entire opening sequence
is awesome.
Return of the Jedi is dumb.
If you were like to say the Ewoks are so dumb, I'm like, But the whole opening sequence is awesome. Everybody's like, why is it so convoluted? Like, why did they all get captured just so they can escape?
It's so dumb.
Freaking sweet.
It's the dumbest
Jedi
fan of all
time. They wanted the Ocean's 11 it in Star Wars.
That was pure Ocean's 11.
I mean, unless what it is it's just like, well, Luke didn't finish his training, so this is the kind of dipshit plan that a Jedi would come up with if he didn't actually have Jedi training.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, okay, maybe.
He's so powerful, he had no reason to not just play along and just house everything.
But why?
When has Luke done anything that make you think he was a dipshit?
Why was the plan for everyone to get caught but Lando? Like, what was Lando even there for?
It's reverse racism.
Is it?
I don't know. If you segregate the one black guy,
hold on.
Is that reverse racism?
I don't think so. Back up for a second, Josh. I don't think the plan was for Leia to get caught.
Yeah, 100% was.
No, she just did get caught.
Go do this dumb thing. I already sent the droids in to get caught. Now you go do the dumb thing.
Maybe Luke was just trying to get rid of all of his friends. He realized, like, a few days later, he was like, man, I'm lonely.
Yeah. That would have been, like, if they had just cut to a scene of, like, emo Luke, like, slashing a little bit in his room. And then he was like, oh, I miss Leia and 3PO.
I'd be like,
all right. All right. Go get him, buddy. Go get him. Like,
yeah. I don't know what you're complaining about. That opening sequence is awesome.
Except when they redid it.
Did they, like, make a Death Star explosion and all the monsters farted?
I don't think the redone was...
There's, like, that three-minute bit where the all-CG characters do that musical number.
Oh, I mean, that's
I totally blocked that out anyways. Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were going to be like, that three-minute bit when all the characters nod at each other before R2-D2 launches the freaking lightsaber.
That was just Family Guy.
Yeah, but it's also actually the movie. So, yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, I loved Jedi. It was my favorite. It was my favorite.
Yeah.
And like, now that I'm an adult, I go back and I look at it, I'm just like, this is a mess. This movie is a mess. I still enjoy watching it, but it is a hot mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are some really good scenes in it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Vader, like, throwing Palpatine down the...
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, that scene's awesome.
There's a lot of...
The redemption of Vader's awesome. Like, there's some really good scenes. Like,
yeah.
Leia and Luke, like, in the, like, you know, like, the shield projector, like, in the doorway of it, like, as the AT-AT, like, closes in on them.
You mean Han? Han and Leia?
Did I say Luke?
Yeah.
Han and Leia. Yeah.
Get it,
Han
right.
and Leia.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And, like, they, like, do the thing where...
That's when they reversed it, right?
Where they reversed it, where Han's like, I love you, and she's like, I know, or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's great. Like, that's good. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There are awesome parts of Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I love the speeder bike racing. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Like, the forest moon of Endor is pretty sweet. I actually don't even hate the Ewoks, but... The Jabba shit is shit.
Get out of here. That's such a sweet part.
God. It's garbage.
People, skip the first 20 minutes of the film and it's
Jabba. God,
the first 20 minutes. I love it.
If you cut
Says
out.
Says the guy who loves Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. If you, well, Fast and the Furious and.
That's why he loves the speeder bikes.
And Return of the Jedi are not the same movie. Like, they're not intended to be the same movie.
You're right. Return of the Jedi makes more sense.
I will say that, like, imagine if Return of the Jedi was remade now with, like, Peter Jackson. So, like, the first thing, the interesting, is, like, this totally, like, ridiculous, like, convoluted.
The only way you can remake Star Wars movies is Guillermo del Toro, obviously. Because it's just all got to be weird.
Yeah. 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 No, absolutely. Yeah. But, like, if it was Peter Jackson, and then that would have been, like, a 40-minute, like, Adventure Park ride, like, all CGI with, like, the ships would have been on a chase around, like, the Sarlacc pit, and, like,
Luke would have been dancing across barrels.
Yeah, they would have, like, surfed. They would have, like, ridden a skateboard down the Sarlacc pit, like, through his intestines and out his butthole, and, like, yeah, it would have been stupid.
It's like, tragic to, like, watch any of the Hobbits and then go back and watch, like...
Fellowship of
Two Towers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just like, wow.
The cool.
How George Lucas can you get?
Yeah. Jedi did one of the. Usually, when you see all of the characters like going into a trap, you like know exactly what the trap, you know, in like every intricate detail where it's like, this bad guy's planning this thing. And you're like, well, I know how all of this ends.
Right.
But like. In Jedi, when they go to attack the Death Star, when I watched it originally, had no inclination that the Death Star was, like, active, aside from the little turrets.
Yeah,
and you're like, holy shit! Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, no, there are very
few movies that actually surprise you like
that. If you cut out the Jabba Palace nonsense, it's a very good movie.
Yeah.
But the Jabba Palace nonsense... It is so nonsensical.
Wait a
so it is so nonsensical.
So you said 1.5 good movies. That means you think The New Hope is not a good movie?
I actually do think New Hope is a good movie.
Okay, because I know
I
you don't think Empire is a bad movie.
I said 1.5, like, kind of like...
He meant 2.5.
He meant tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
he meant 2.5, which
two and a half
I'll give you 2.5.
2.5 is really how many good movies
I mean,
yeah.
2.5 is a pretty high batting average for a
New
trilogy.
New Hope is... Well, it's not a trilogy. It's an 8-movie franchise.
Nope, shut up.
No, but when it was made, it was a trilogy. And out of
it's
the first...
a 4-movie franchise
no,
so far.
As Star Wars fans that are getting excited about Episode 8 coming out, it is about to be a 9-movie franchise. Like, that's just the reality of it.
Nope, 5. Which... I'm also ignoring Rogue One.
Wait, which 5?
4 and later in numbers.
Oh, so you're counting whatever the movie,
4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8 to come out that we haven't seen. You're like, it's good.
That's the 5th.
If they got Jeremy Lin, the director of Fast and the Furious, to direct it, then I'm all in.
I will say, I've been saying this from the beginning. If she goes into a cave to face a dark force like Luke did on Dagobah, I'm going to be 100% out on the movie.
It needs to not be
a rehash of Empire.
That's been my argument about this like new resurgence of like, oh, like Force Awakens is bad. I'm like, actually, it was a pretty good movie. It needed like after the prequels were made,
we needed to reestablish.
You had to have a movie like Force Awakens. And yes, Harrison Ford was at times extremely necrotic, but That aside.
I mean, you're going to complain about the scene.
You're not going to complain about Jabba the Hutt and then showing up on the ship with Han Solo and the stupid eight pirate things.
Yeah, the pirate scene was super dumb.
Literally the Scooby-Doo episode.
It was super dumb.
That was so idiotic.
Yes, it was super dumb. I agree. It was the worst part of the movie.
I never thought about that as the, I thought it was dumb. I never thought about it as the Scooby-Doo.
Oh, it was 100%. They literally had the hallway and then they're like coming out of different doors like, oh my God, kill me.
God, yeah.
Like this just never had to happen in Star Wars.
Super dumb. Force Awakens is the fourth best.
I would have been back in if the giant, like, squiggly tentacle monsters had dragged him away, and then he just, like, pulled off its mask. And I was like, Mr. Johnson!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would have made the whole thing worth it. Yes. Yeah.
That entire sequence was very, very stupid.
Yeah.
Other things that enrage me is, like, when you see... like spoiler shots, spoiler cuts of it, and they show just like quick shots of like Rey at the beginning where she's got the helmet on and she's like eating and she's like being super cute, but not cute in like a hot girl way, but like cute in like Anakin in the first one in the Phantom Menace way. You're like, ugh! You're just like, it's like a kid movie.
I don't even know what you're talking.
She's just like, there's a shot where she's just like eating like ravioli.
Yeah, she's wearing a Rebel Pilot
hat.
It's
oversized and big, and she's just like, basically a chibi person.
Why would it be oversized and big? She's a full-grown adult.
Yeah, exactly, because they had to make it cute.
It's not actually in the movie.
It is in the movie.
She's just like, when she makes dinner,
I remember eating her food. I don't remember being an oversized hat.
Yeah. She was sitting outside, like the sun was setting.
Yeah, I remember all of that. I don't remember the oversized
hat. It wasn't a hat, it was a helmet.
A helmet. She put on a Rebel Pilot helmet.
It was way oversized.
Was she like trying to block her?
Anyways, it just gave me flashbacks of Anakin. I was like, God, they're just... This movie sucks. Like everything about it.
That would happen.
There was also pod racing in it. So bad. And then just like all the ship flight scenes, like when they're escaping and getting in orbit, was basically just like pod racing. It was just nonsensically stupid. And then her and her pal were like, yeah, that's pod racing when they're inside the ship. High five each other like, Jesus Christ.
We watched the same movie. You didn't enjoy them getting in the Millennium Falcon, fighting off the two
TIE fighters
and then making orbit? You didn't like that sequence?
No.
Hopelessly broken as a human being. No. I don't know what to say.
That was just like nonsensically idiotic. It was like rehashing like, it's remember that time when like Luke and Han did this and they're like, oh God, yes,
I
know.
I could watch the Falcon swoop all day.
That sequence was...
Can we stop having spaceships smash into things like at high speed, like they're bumper cars?
Yeah, then we can watch not Star Wars movies.
Mm. Yeah, we can watch Star Trek. Oh, yeah. Wait.
Like, we can watch not space movies, Nigel.
I don't recall the original trilogy where they're like constantly like bumper car mechanicking off everything.
Yeah, that's because it was all done with physical models.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't wreck the...
You can bump models together. It's actually pretty safe. No. Like
that would look so garbage. Oh my God!
A toy hit like some dunes.
It's just like an 8-year-old making their home movies.
All right, so we're all in agreement, though. We're all hoping that 8's going to be really good.
I do.
I hope it won't suck.
The most interesting thing I'm looking forward to in it is there's like this YouTube video going around of some guy analyzing the preview and makes the point that the most interesting part about the preview to him is the fact that there are physical books shown in the preview, and at no other point in like Star Wars has there been pages of books. Everything's been super digital.
I thought your point was that like, what, you're excited about this or...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if we want to talk about interesting fan theories, I saw a fan theory where somebody was positing that Rey is just reincarnated Anakin.
Okay.
Which is why she's so naturally good at the Force.
So the point he's making in this,
which is pretty stupid,
in this sort of video is that the Star Wars timeline is fairly short, right? It's like literally one dude's lifetime, right? Like Anakin as a kid to full-blown adult. And somehow, like... in Star Wars, like A New Hope, everyone somehow, like the old the New Republic it feels like a distant memory. And in the new film, in Episode 7, everything feels like a distant timeline. Like Han's literally 20 years older, but they talk about them as though they're legends or myths of like thousands of years ago. And part of the reason why is that there's no like written text, like nothing's ever written down. None of it's cataloged anywhere. If it is,
it's digitally done, and you just wipe everything when there's a new regime that takes over.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Or counterpoint, George Lucas.
Yeah, I have some hope for 8. It's not continuously being directed by the eventual ruiner of all things, so that's a good sign.
Peter Jackson, Abrams, or Lucas? Which one?
Wait, what? What is it? Ryan Johnson? Is that the guy that's directing the new? I'm not familiar with his work. Does anybody know what else he's directed?
I remember looking at one point and not being like super impressed, but that's not necessarily the end of the world.
It should be a Guy Ritchie film.
I mean, it's not McGee, so.
Oh, McGee.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, we've pre-rambled for a while now, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how we started out with John talking about how he doesn't care for and thinks the entire War Machine community is trash.
I don't
think to going to Star Wars, but
hold
somehow.
On. Back up. That is not at all what I said. I actually, the only thing that keeps me interested in War Machine is I love the community and the people in it. There's a lot of really awesome people in the War Machine community.
I must have misunderstood what you're saying.
Benicio del Toro's on the new Star Wars movie. Apparently.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah.
He is.
Well, he played, like, the Super McPoyle. So
Ryan Johnson.
I remember when I liked Benicio del Toro, but then I saw a Javier Bardem movie, so now I don't.
Javier Bardem movie.
He...
What?
Is that his name? Javier Bardem?
Yeah, the guy that was in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, No Country. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Benicio del... Javier Bardem is like an edgier, awesomer Benicio del Toro.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, Benicio del Toro. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the collector.
I'm thinking of Guillermo del Toro for some reason. I'm like, what is this comparison? I just was totally like, this is like the most ridiculous comparison I've ever heard. All right, never mind.
Yeah, like one is like an old director who's quite good, and the other is a strange actor who's quite good. I wouldn't really compare the two.
Yeah.
one is
you would compare a strange actor that's pretty good to a strange actor that's exceptionally good.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fine.
Ryan. No, Bardem's in the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Bardem sucks. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the main villain.
That guy sucks.
He was also in a not very good Bond movie.
He's really Benicio del Toro'd himself.
Nice. Ryan Johnson directed Looper and Brick.
Looper's pretty good.
And 3 episodes of Breaking Bad. Actually, and he directed...
Which episodes of Breaking Bad?
Ozymandias.
Oh, that's like the one that everybody considers to be one of the best, right?
And then Fly in 51.
All right.
Okay, so there's
hope. You're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Yeah. I mean,
we also need the screenwriter to not shit the bed.
I think he wrote it, Keith. I think Ryan Johnson actually wrote it.
I don't think they employ screenwriters in Hollywood anymore. Not joking.
He's the writer and director of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah. So he did write it also. Does he have any other written credits?
I'm only looking at his Wikipedia.
Secret Life of Pets.
How many times have you watched that with
Anna? Seems to me like there's a lot of merit to having a different person write and direct.
Oh, he's written and directed most of the thing. Even Evil Demon Golf Ball from Hell is 1996 movie. He wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
Brick, wrote and directed. The Brothers Bloom, Looper, wrote and directed. And then Rogue One, he was an actor, but not.
Whoa, he was an actor
in
Rogue One?
Cameo appearance, Death Star Tech. And then, Star Wars Last Jedi.
Man, Secret Life of Pets sucked. Real bad.
It especially was disappointing because it had Louis C.K. in it.
Yeah.
Just like, why?
I really hate it when they, like, every year there's, like, 2 or 3 kids' movies that are just phoned in. Like, kids will watch it, so we'll make a profit. Derp. Yeah.
Although...
Yeah, I dislike hiring random people to do voice actors' work. And Louis C.K. doesn't exactly qualify as random person, but he's also not a voice actor by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I mean, it's okay for them to use familiar voices. Like, I always like it when they
put... Yeah, those familiar voices are good.
I always like it when they put, like, Sam Elliott in things.
I mean, I didn't feel like the movie was subpar because Louis C.K. didn't nail the voice acting for the dog.
No, that's not going to be the primary reason it doesn't turn out. Yeah. That is a separate pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, fair enough.
We had my cousins over, and they're very young, and we watched Moana and Zootopia, which were both quite good.
I really like Zootopia. I haven't seen Moana yet.
You should watch Moana.
Moana was really strong.
Yeah.
I will eventually.
It has The Rock in it, so it can't be bad. That's my new rule.
I mean, that actually isn't your new rule. That's just the rule of the universe.
Yeah.
See, Fast and the Furious franchise. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever watch Kubo and the Two Strings?
Yeah,
it's on Netflix now.
Did you not see my post about like the best movies of each year?
Oh no,
based
no,
on the year they came out.
No,
last year's was Kubo and the Two Strings.
It's very good.
It's exceptional. It's unreal how good it is.
My kid will watch it.
Yeah,
I will force them.
Yeah,
that was like the physically animated movie.
Yes,
yes,
yeah. It was all stop motion.
All stop motion, like puppeteer, paper puppets or yeah, whatever. Yeah,
but it was computer generated stop motion, right?
No.
No, it was actual stop motion?
Yes, the entire thing. They literally made, like, yeah.
Yeah, the end of...
I just assumed that was a style choice they chose.
At the end of the movie, you see all their sets and all their dolls and stuff.
I thought it was, like, stop motion origami, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically,
that's essentially what it is.
It was freaking nuts.
The movie's real good.
It's beautiful, and the movie is good to be in, like...
I appreciate that they did enough stills so that it doesn't appear like stock, like...
Yeah.
Stop motion.
Yeah.
Like, they just literally took the time to do.
Yeah. No, they took years to make the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Podcast?
Yeah, it really sucks that probably got shadowed over by Secret Life of Pets.
Depends on what you mean by overshadowed.
In sales.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's why sales are not a determining factor of what is good.
If only they were, Josh. If only they were.
Then we'd be living in an enlightened society.
One day.
All right. Let's podcast. About War Machine and Hordes.
I got to do a little blurbs about the donors at the start, but
I have a disclaimer also.
Uh-oh.
Like before we start or once we start?
Well, I mean, it has to be after we start because it has to be at the beginning, but there is a disclaimer.
Okay.
He's really excited about this. So.
Okay.